Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Gentlemen, you are the top 1%.
The elite. Best of the best. We'll make it better.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce you to our commanding officer at Top Gun.
The very first man to win the Top Gun trophy. You will not find a finer fighter pilot anywhere in the world.
Paul Perillo.
I will fire when I am good and ready. You got that?
And Andy. And Andy?
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Andy Hart.
You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right.
I am dangerous.
Eric Scalavino.
I want somebody's butt. I want it now. I'm at it.
For now, anyway.
That's twice. I want some butt.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for. You are America's best. Make us proud.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. The gang is all here. Eric's back from vacation. We'll get into that a little later.
I heard about that, Fred.
What?
Your disparaging remark against me last week.
What? What did I say?
The gang's all here last week.
Oh, yeah. Eric.
Oh, yeah.
Eric is here. Andy's here. Paul's here. Fred's here. Doc's in the booth. Toyota Tacoma's back there somewhere. Is he getting closer to producing a show, Doc?
Doesn't look like it.
He's been doing some rev stuff, but we're getting ready for lacrosse, so he's got to take care of some of that stuff.
Yes, the NCAA Final Four lacrosse is coming up this weekend.
So oh that'll
God.
Be good.
My God, Fred.
What?
You aimed it right into the microphone.
You did.
I'm sorry, but, you know, this is our lunch.
The guy
time.
Who doesn't always speak into the microphone decided to burp into it.
This is our lunchtime.
Intentionally.
Anyway, So
does the billboard for this show say PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch? Is that the title of the show?
Why? What's your problem?
I stumbled across some old TV shows on videotape when cleaning out the basement this weekend.
Yeah.
And the original PFW TV show on AT&T 3, the graphic was Patriots Football Weekly with Fred Kirsch.
I don't know. Guys are here. Obviously, Fred Kirsch.
I don't know
Paul
who
Perillo,
did that or why it was done, but
it's
apparently
true.
It was done.
Spelled wrong, too. It said Kirsch instead of Kurtz.
Whoever was doing the graphics understood what the draw really was, and, you know, that's why they did it. So, anyway. We have a lot to talk about
I'm
here,
so
even though the Patriots are kind of a slow time, but OTAs are going on, or they're starting up, and today, tomorrow we'll have some access. Is that correct?
That's what we're told, yeah.
Yeah. Around 10:45, we'll be able to watch practice tomorrow.
That I'm not sure about.
We don't know.
I know that they gave us the start time and the end time for practice, but I'm not sure if that means we're allowed to see
I think
it.
We
yet
watch
or
some
not.
Of it.
Some of it, but I don't know if we're allowed to watch all of it.
The cool down.
Okay. And will Bill Belichick be giving a press conference tomorrow? No.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think we'll get him until minicamp. I don't think we'll have access to Bill until. Minicamp, but I'm not positive on how they work this. This is kind of new. I know they did it a little bit last year, but it's I think it's still kind of a work in progress, these
okay.
OTAs that they give the media access to.
But there is activity going on at Gillette Stadium. Players are here, and all the rookies are here.
They're also prepping for the NCAA lacrosse?
Yes, that's big this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I'll be here in for all 3 days.
So will I.
Working, right? Yeah, that's too.
You're here as a fan, though.
Just
right?
almost swore.
I'm here as a fan.
I just almost dropped a who gives up.
Yeah. Well, how long is that? It's a great event.
All day.
There's two games on Saturday. Two games on Sunday. Division two and three championships, and then one game on Monday, the Division one championship. So, but it's just a festive atmosphere. Hopefully, the weather holds out. Last year was great. This year it's going to be even better because Patriot Place is now open. All the bars, it's just going to be wild. It's just a wild scene. Very college atmosphere. Paul would like it. He could come here in his RV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
well, be better to go to, you know, like a traditional lacrosse place, you know, maybe Annapolis or something
like
that.
Does Northeastern have a lacrosse team?
They don't.
Why?
Probably Title IX.
Really? Do they have a women's lacrosse team?
No.
No? Because the lacrosse is hot. I wouldn't go to a college without a lacrosse team. It's just not a real college. You know?
You went to a college without a lacrosse team.
Now, back then, lacrosse didn't exist.
You went to a college without an athletic program, didn't you?
I was in the athletic program.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, there's not a ton of lacrosse in the New England area.
There is now. You kidding me?
BU doesn't have one.
Brown was number 13 in the nation.
Ivy League's a little bit different because that's a traditional.
They've been rich kids all their lives.
Right. That's kind of a traditional prep school sport.
Now, a good man of the people school like Tufts has finally turned into a Division III power.
But Northeastern doesn't have one. BU doesn't have one. I don't believe BC has one either.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
I might be wrong on that. UMass has an excellent program.
Yep.
They make the NCAAs every year.
Were they in the Final Four last year?
2 years.
Two years ago.
Yeah.
But they're traditionally very good. They made the tournament again this year. They got knocked out in the first round. But they're very
good. Boys from Tufts choked, though, right? They're out.
Yeah. But before we get any emails about why are you talking lacrosse, I tuned in to listen to Patriots. Let's go over some of the Patriots news. Rumors going around. Derek Burgess. What have you guys heard? And can you confirm any of this? And what do you think of Burgess as a player?
I think I would like him to be added to the depth chart. But first of all, I have the same concerns as Julius Peppers, making the transition. He's a true defensive end, making the transition to outside linebacker. Less of an athlete than Julius Peppers. Short at 6'2". Bill didn't like any of the guys in the draft because they were too short. He's 6'2", 260. He's been injured the last couple of years, banged up. So I think there are some reasons to not get too excited about the move, but I also think there's a reason to say he's a proven NFL pass rusher who a couple of years ago led the NFL in sacks. I'll give him a try.
Two Pro Bowls under his belt, like, you know, Andy indicated. He's had, what did he have, 15 sacks?
16 in his first year. Was that 05?
05,
yeah. By the way, he also played well in the postseason that culminated with the Patriots-Eagles. That's kind of how he made his money.
Yep.
Went to Oakland as a starter, produced right away the first couple of years. Been banged up a little bit now.
Yeah, here's his numbers. A rookie in 2001, he played in 16 games, started four. Then over the next 2 years, he played in a total of one game. So he missed all of 03, and in 02 he played one game, and that was it. So he had some injuries there, it looks like. And then 2.5 sacks in 04, 16 in 05, 11 in 06. So that was a little nice productive stretch. 8 in 07. So he had a little run there where he was getting to the quarterback, even though it was with the Raiders, who are notoriously horrible. And then last year he only played in 10 games and got hurt again, but had 3.5 sacks. So, yeah, he's proven he can do it as a defensive end and on a team that's not very good. But the question is, can he stay healthy and can he do it as an outside linebacker?
Any idea what the compensation would be?
Reports are between 2 and 3 that they're talking for next year.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Which to me does sound
a second
a little,
or a third, yeah. You're saying?
That's a little high, I think.
Does sound a little high to me, but he's a guy not making a ton of money. I think it's under $2 million in a contract year, which might be seen as a positive if he's looking for one last payday in the NFL.
Yeah.
But yeah, in light of a lot of the stuff we've seen kind of bantered around, a second-round pick does seem a little high to me. A third, I'd probably be willing to do. But they do have three twos now, right, for
yeah,
next year?
And they might be looking at it that way, that they have
a, two
a little
next
bit
year
of
a
surplus.
A three this year. Or does that not work anymore because the draft passed?
Now, might it also, you know, you brought up all the twos and stuff, and that's what people started talking about with Peppers is maybe, you know, the stockpile in the twos to maybe give a couple of those to Carolina. Might it be somewhat of a smokescreen? Maybe, you know, you get this Burgess stuff out there and they want to talk a little bit more about the Peppers thing and revisit that. I don't know.
I'd rather that be what happens.
Yeah,
honestly.
Well, I mean,
to Andy, maybe they're thinking of moving up in the 2009 draft.
They could move up in the 2009 draft, you clown.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I will say that I kind of agree with Andy's point about you have some questions about that transition, and certainly Burgess isn't the player that Peppers is, so you have more questions. I like the move if they, you know, provided they were able to make it for, you know, reasonable amount, you know, I don't know, second, third, I don't know. To me, there's not that much of a difference there.
No, I'm just basing it on what they've done.
At 6'2", 260, could he play in the inside in a 3-4?
Well, I guess could, I suppose, but I don't think he would. I don't think it makes sense.
That was, sounds like a carbon copy of Adalys Thomas.
Brewski went from outside to inside.
But
that was a transition period. This guy has been an NFL defensive end. To just say he's going to play inside linebacker, to me,
at that size, yes, Fred. I mean,
oh yeah, the size
wouldn't be a hindrance. I don't think that's his position, but that
even at outside linebacker, you're talking about he'll have his hand down, rush the passer primarily, and we're already saying that's a little bit of a transition. Now to say he's just going to play on the inside on 2 feet all the time, I just don't think it makes any sense.
Okay.
I
just looked at the size, and that's pretty prototypical for an inside.
Oh yeah,
linebacker.
I mean the size would be nice. I also don't, even though he's not all that tall, he does have a little bit of a lean, lanky build. It's funny how different guys at the same heights and weights can look differently. Hmm. He's built more like an edge guy than he is a thick-necked inside type of guy.
But as Paul said earlier, you know, if this is a smokescreen, you know, I'd like that.
Five veterans better pack their bags.
Well, but, I mean, if you're going to take a chance on a guy, wouldn't you rather take a chance on a guy who's the more athletic, more proven player than a guy who's not?
Not if I have to cut five other guys. You gotta
Bring in the whole picture.
No, if you're asking me if I'd rather have Peppers or Burgess, right. It's Peppers.
Just one to one, but it's not a one to one.
But it's not a one to one thing. It's a comparison. It's Peppers and more money and more compensation, or Burgess for less money and less compensation.
And whatever else you have to do to make it work. Burgess is just flat out trade for him. Trade a second or a third round pick for a guy who has a $2 million contract and you play him.
And I do like Burgess, and I hadn't really kept track of what he did, you know, like a lot of players when
he's
go to
black
Oakland. When they go to Oakland, they fall off the radar. But I did like him, and I do remember the postseason run that Andy's talking about. I was actually surprised when I looked at the numbers overall for his time with the Eagles. I thought they were a little bit better than that, but he was a good player that year.
Yeah,
and that was a guy.
Twice. They were better in Oakland than I thought they were, and they were worse in Philly than I thought they were.
And that was a guy that you guys wrote a lot about. Heading into that Super Bowl, I remember reading all that stuff, and Burgess was a guy that was, you know, kind of an under the radar player that not a lot of people knew about. That was probably a reasonably big target of their game plan that day, and then he went to Oakland and had a very, very productive start to his time with the Raiders too. So it's not like he completely fell off the map in terms of his ability.
Was Trent Cole on the Eagles at that time when Burgess was there for that Super Bowl?
I don't know if he was there then, but. He's
relatively
kind of
young.
Trent Cole took that role, I'll tell you that.
Mm. All right, what else are we talking about today? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the phone number. Hey, Doc, I heard, wow, did you get a new screen in there, new monitor?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really cool. That thing's huge.
Hey,
it's
now.
Like a TV. What are you going to do
what
with
she
that?
Said. You are such a...
Audio editing,
wow.
Why do you need a big screen for audio editing? Wouldn't you need good speakers?
So you can see the tracks. So you can
are we having
edit
a, are we having a
things.
Guest today? Do we know if we're going to have a guest today? I heard we might.
Who's the guest?
But that was Thursday.
Oh, Thursday?
We might have a guest on Thursday.
We might have a guest on Thursday. Right. Okay.
Nobody said anything to me.
All right.
Well, we don't need you.
All right.
There's a lot
did
of
you hear
news.
About the Comcast deal, Fred?
Well, is it done?
Yes.
It's done now.
NFL.com had a breaking news story on their website.
Well, that's big. That's a big deal. but I think leading up to that was the is the extension of the Fox and CBS thing done?
Not
yet, but that's rumored to be the next step.
Because this is all important as it pertains to the upcoming negotiations.
Sure.
And by extension, us keeping jobs.
Right. So, you know, the teams will know we've got this money in the bank. You know, it puts a lot of pressure on the union. Say, you know, the teams can lock you out, and they're not going to feel it as much as you guys.
Yeah.
Also, it helps
that the DirecTV that was it a billion?
Yeah.
That they get if there's no season, DirecTV has
right.
a billion?
Right.
So not only have they extended their contracts, they have things like that'll hold them over. So
they bought an insurance policy.
It puts a lot of pressure on Smith.
He's still demanding, though, that the teams release their audited financial numbers.
Right. And you know, I'll get into that in a second. But the other thing it does for both sides is now we know at least until 2013, or we will once CBS and Fox gets extended, this is what's on the table. We know what we're going to make, you know, up to that point. So it makes the negotiation a little bit easier for both sides. There's no speculation. Well, what if, you know, you get this much increase? What if you don't get it, you know?
Theoretically, yeah, it should be easier.
Right, but. So that helps a little bit. But then getting back to what you were talking about, what was it you were talking about?
Smith wants the teams to release their financial numbers.
I don't think that that's ever going to happen. And I think, you know, that's one where Goodell or even, you know, Robert Kraft or a couple of the owners take Smith's aside and say, look, every team does it a little bit differently. And it's not to bilk the union out of any money. You know, it's not so that the union makes any less money than the player's going to make. But there's other reasons why different teams do it different ways, you know, whether it's tax reasons or other businesses that they're running and things like that. It's just never going to happen. You know, so he can.
In other words, we're doing shady stuff that we don't want somebody to know about.
It's not necessarily shady, but you know how things are. You know, and it's not illegal.
If there was nothing shady about it, there wouldn't be the opposition to disclose the information. Can we agree on that?
But it may not have anything to do with the union.
I'm not arguing with you on that. Yeah, you may be absolutely
somebody.
Right.
Right.
It may not be of any value to Demora Smith and his constituents.
Right.
But if it was all on the up and up, I don't think there would be anywhere near the level of opposition that the.
Well,
and it's not. This is not NFL. Not just sports, even. It's all the sports leagues, but that's business. You know, they're not going to. CEOs aren't in the business of opening their books for all to see.
Right. So he can yell and scream
unless
for that
a publicly traded
all
company
he wants.
And they have
but that's different.
But yeah.
It's like when we go to Fred and say, "What's our circulation?"
Right.
Who wants to know?
But you know, I don't think that's ever going to happen. And someone's going to have to take him aside and say, "Look, you know, what do you need to know? We'll tell you." You know, but
we'll
we're not
tell you
but we're
what you need to know.
But we're not going to open up the books for the world to see.
No.
Hey,
and,
it used
and
to
I
work with
expect,
the old guy.
I wouldn't expect them to do that.
Gene Upshaw would have said, oh, okay. As long as you tell me what I need to know, we're good.
We don't need your books? Okay. We don't need them. All right. Thanks, Mr. Tagliabue.
On a more local and Patriots fan perspective, we should probably discuss that Lawrence Maroney admitted that he had a broken shoulder last year. Talked about it at Kevin Falk's celebrity charity softball game, and it was sort of glossed over by the Boston Herald, but the Boston Globe, I think, did a nice job in covering it, and it led your boy Florio, Fred, to kind of wonder, could this get the Patriots in trouble again, because it's clear, or I shouldn't say clear, I mean, there's some question as to whether they were following all the rules of the injury reporting process at the time in dealing with Maroney.
Well, I know Paul disagrees, but I contend that they followed the letter of the rule because they had no intention of him not playing. They had no intention of, you know, they told what he participated in practice. There was never a question about whether or not he was going to play, and that's what the report reflected.
I, devil's advocate here, would argue, wouldn't the league come back and then say, why did you list Tom Brady for 5 years on the injury report with a shoulder?
Well,
I mean, wouldn't that be what the league said? If you guys want to play by a certain set of rules, you need to be consistent within your own rules.
Well, and I would come back as the Patriots and say, well, we kind of painted ourselves in the corner with Tom Brady. No, listen.
We were just trying to be jerks.
Because remember,
now it's gonna bite us.
There was a time where they changed how this thing. So we started doing that as, you know, sort of a
middle finger
thing. And then, you know, we had to keep doing it because now we were painting a corner. But he does have this problem with his shoulder. It's been out there. It didn't just go away.
Right.
So we just had to keep it on the report.
You know how I'm pretty consistent on this, Fred. I think the injury reports are a waste of time. I don't really know why the teams have to do them. But for whatever reason, they do. And the NFL treats them somewhat seriously. I still, again, don't really understand why. It would seem to run counter to all of the stuff that they want to keep out of the game, but they have their reasons, and evidently they feel like there's less intrusion in terms of the gambling element. If you have a report, then there's not that poking around. I guess that's what their mentality
is. Oh, that is the mentality.
But I'm gonna surprise you here. I don't think the Patriots have done anything wrong.
Oh, I don't either.
I don't think the Patriots have done anything wrong with the injury report at all, and I have been somewhat critical or comically critical of what they do. I'm not sure I buy the whole story on the other side. I buy the Patriots side on this one.
Could be.
Over everything else. Let's put it that way.
On the
player side. I'm not so sure that the injury was to the extent that the player said it was. Let's put it that way.
You know what?
I don't think he needed to be on the injury report.
You know, it's funny because, you know, what is a broken shoulder? I mean, we have an idea of what we think it is, but there's different degrees of break. There's fractures. No, there's bone spurs. There's all kinds of things. Right. And, you know, it's easy for a player to just say, hey, I had a broken shoulder. That's why I didn't play well. It's, you know, why – I don't want to get into the details, but I was injured, and here's what it was.
Because it's another example of him not fitting in here.
Well, you
how
know,
about a guy
not
who,
doing the right
how
thing.
How about a guy who originally said it's not physical?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I understand that there's reasons to say things at different times, you know, that are working your best advantage. But to me, it establishes a pattern of behavior. And the behavior with him, to me, is he has no problems lying. And when I know that about a guy, I have a hard time believing him going forward. That might not be fair. Maybe he lied for a specific reason in San Francisco and said that it wasn't physical when Eric and I were out in Santa Clara that first time. He said it wasn't physical. Maybe he was lying then because he was trying to conform to the team element. That's certainly plausible. But to me, one of those two things, either he had a broken bone in his shoulder or he didn't, one of them is a lie. And to me, that establishes a pattern of behavior that I'm not comfortable with.
But maybe he has a problem lying, and that's what you're seeing. Mm-hmm. Not that he can't lie, that he was trying to be the good soldier and lie at the time, and it's just not very good at it.
And what he should have done, if he didn't want to talk about the injury, was not talk about the injury.
Well, that's a side issue. He also should have done the same thing this week when he started talking about the injury again. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your head down. Right. And I have an idea. Stay healthy and get on the field and let your play do your talking for you.
It is a guy that seems to really, really be concerned with the public perception.
Right.
And he really is, he really wants to be accepted. And I'm not sure that's the best way you can be. Listen, there's a lot of things that are unfair about some of the life of a pro athlete. But in my opinion, the pluses so far outweigh the minuses,
you know,
that you deal with some of that stuff. So they're talking about you on message board. Heath Evans addressed this today. Heath Evans now in New Orleans obviously had a lot of he was a great guy to talk to in the locker room. So a lot of the writers probably still feel comfortable picking up the phone and calling Heath Evans on anything related to the Patriots. Today.
And we know Heath Evans has no problem talking.
Right. And today he talked about how he knew that Maroney was bothered by the criticisms and even mentioned fan websites. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you can't be concerned with stuff that we write on fan websites and message boards.
That's the other thing. And, you know, I'm just speculating here, but these situations, there's always stuff behind the scenes that we have no idea what's going on. And I'll just speculate. For example, maybe he had a degree of injury in his shoulder, and maybe the team is saying, hey, look, we know the injury. Here's what it is. You're not going to hurt it anymore by continuing playing. It's mental, Lawrence. This is all mental. It's your capacity for pain or whatever, but you can get over this. But right now you have to deal with it mentally. And so maybe at the time of, you know, when they were out in the West Coast, maybe that's on his mind. He's like, it's mental. But between then and now, maybe his agent said, Lawrence, don't listen to them. You were injured. It's a physical thing. And now he's changed. You know, so a guy like Maroney sounds like he can be, you know, impressed upon, but you know, and
the trouble is, all this would have been solved by not talking then
or
now.
Well, now, but now, doesn't it make sense the Patriots way when it comes to dealing with the media? Because you can only get yourself into these jams by talking about.
No, I think guys that are smart about it do a good job marketing themselves.
But these guys aren't smart. So as a football coach, I'm dealing
some
with...
Some of them are.
No, but
I think some of them have the media eating out of the palm of their hands.
That's not good enough for me. If 20% of my team, and that's probably a large portion, it's probably less than that, are smart enough to be able to get the media eating out of their hands, I don't want anyone talking. I want to be consistent. I don't want just a few guys talking, because then the guys that don't get talked get questioned. Why aren't you talking?
I'd rather have no one talking. They're individuals. They can choose to talk.
But I know, and they do.
And they have their own goals, which is to promote Ty Law, Inc.
I understand.
Because I'm the president and CEO of Ty Law, Inc.
But as a football coach, I'm impressing upon them, if one of your goals is team goals, I'm asking you, I'm encouraging you to not talk about injuries.
But we know that's not how it works. Because as a football coach, I'd like to have 53 guys that make exactly $1 million each, and we're all equal.
Right, right.
But that's not how the real world works.
But as
we
a
play
football
in the real
coach,
world here.
I'm doing my best to make it that way.
Right.
And I think the Patriots do a pretty good job at that. Guys like Ellis Hobbs, Lawrence Maroney, some guys, no matter what you tell them, they're going to do that. But for the most part, they do a pretty good job at that. And the guys adhere to that because unless you, like Lawrence, are so worried about public perception, when you have a bad game, you want to make sure the public knows it's not my fault. Unless that's so on your mind, it's not that hard to adhere to what this team wants you to do. Well, just don't talk about it.
There's also some guys that feel it's part of the job, that they have a right to the fans or that's part of what comes with being a professional athlete.
Yes.
And the benefits that come with it.
And you know what? What Belichick will tell them is you win football games and all that stuff will come to you. You'll be fine. You know, you'll get your commercials, you'll get this. You just don't have to talk about your injuries.
No chance. If you're a guy that never talks, has never heard.
Talks about what though, Paul?
You just said you don't want them to
talk because they're not capable of deciding.
About their injuries.
Well, first of all, I don't really understand why you have to take it to an extreme and say you can't talk about it. How about, okay, just don't lie. How about that? Is that hard? Is it hard to, like, you know, either not talk or tell the truth? Those were the two options that he had. And I wouldn't have had any problem whatsoever if he chose the former. Don't talk. If you don't want to talk about your injury, don't talk about it.
But instead
he chose to lie about it.
But at the time, he probably shouldn't have said anything.
Exactly.
That's my point.
He shouldn't say anything. And that's what's but good the for same all time, these guys.
No, see, but no, Fred. It's good for Lawrence Maroney because he can't talk without lying.
Look, Danny.
There's a lot of other guys that could talk about their injuries without lying about it.
I'll give you an example, Paul. And you were right there to hear it happen. And I, as soon as I heard it, I said, he shouldn't have said it. Danny Ainge was doing an interview 2 weeks ago on the Big Show. You were there. And they were talking about Kevin Garnett.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn Ordway did a very good job of getting Danny Ainge to paint himself into the corner by having him admit that it was really up to Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, and how did that impact the Celtics positively or negatively?
Because Danny Ainge then – they're still talking about it to this day on EEI.
Again, how did that impact the team positively or negatively?
It impacted Kevin Garnett negatively.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
There are people now questioning his will to play through pain
People questioned him back in February.
Listen to me.
Because they were told, quote, it is not structural.
Listen to me, Paul. When you have the GM – go on the radio show and say, you know, it's really up to Kevin, and then have to backtrack 2 minutes later and say, the doctors.
He hasn't really backtracked from that. He said that all along.
He did it right on that show. He backtracked. He said, what I meant is Kevin and the doctors, and Glenn did a good job. Now, if Glenn did that same type of line of questioning with Belichick, he probably would be interviewing Belichick because he wasn't unfair to Danny Ainge.
Bill wouldn't answer it. That's the difference.
Well, that's the difference.
But that's the way Bill is. He gets through those without saying anything. And he wasn't unfair to Danny Ainge. And that's not a shot at Bill.
And he wasn't unfair to Danny Ainge. But because Danny Ainge was talking about a specific guy injury and what Glenn Ordway was able to take him down a path that got him into a little bit of hot water.
Yeah.
And that's the fact.
Did the Celtics lose the series because of that? Are they not going to play next year because of that? Is Kevin Garnett an ex-Celtic?
Danny Ainge's comment, coupled with the 61% three-point shooting that the Magic had in Game 7, knocked the Celtics out of the playoffs.
You're taking what I'm saying out of context. I'm not saying it had anything to do with the Patriots winning or losing.
No, but you're saying one approach is right and the other's wrong. I'm telling you there's nothing wrong about what Danny Ainge did.
If what you're saying doesn't help your team, why say it? Okay, if it's not for the good of the team, why say it? And it's not for the good of the team to let people know it's up to Kevin Garnett on whether or not he wants to play.
First of all, you're taking that literally, and what he meant was it was about the amount of pain that Kevin Garnett can play in.
Right.
That's up to Kevin.
That's up to Kevin.
Yes. And it is up to Kevin, just like every other injury is up to the player.
But it's also up to the doctors. If the doctors have cleared you to play, said you're okay to play, most fans will say, get out there and play.
But most injuries are not injuries that if you play – You're going to risk your life, risk your career. Most injuries are of when you can deal with the pain and the limitations of the injury, you can play.
Right.
Sean Merriman basically had what Tom Brady suffered during the preseason. He decided, I'm going to go out and play. That lasted less than a quarter. And he said, I can't play.
Right.
The doctors signed off on it.
Right.
I don't see anybody saying.
So all the San Diego players.
Sean Merriman, he gave it a shot.
He gave it a shot.
And Kevin Garnett gave it a shot. He played four games in February and realized he couldn't play. In March, and realized he couldn't play.
Paul, to this day, this morning, they were questioning Kevin Garnett.
Right.
And they were citing that interview.
And here's the difference between Bill Belichick and you. You care about those people talking about Kevin Garnett. Bill doesn't care about those guys.
Yes, he does.
And neither does Kevin Garnett.
He doesn't want to put himself, his team, his players in any
Bill
type of position.
Bill does not care what other people say.
Listen to me.
That's the beauty and the strength of
Belichick.
Who's
saying it?
It doesn't 3%. Matter.
Exactly.
But this gets back to the player. It's a distraction. It's a distraction. And
again, I just
I think
didn't
it's
see
only
that
a distraction to people like
Paul.
Lawrence Maroney who we'll seek out distractions.
It doesn't matter who it's a distraction
it
to.
It doesn't
if
affect
they,
the
if
team.
If they don't
in
talk about Lawrence Maroney's injury, then it doesn't become a distraction. And they were citing that particular interview this morning, Paul.
Okay, can we move
I
on?
I heard
a little
them
bit?
Talking, Fred. It didn't have anything to do with the playoffs. That's all I'm saying. Why is one right and one wrong?
That's not the point.
Because idiots talk about it on talk radio like me? Who cares?
That's not the
point. If you're a team, what do you care what I say?
That's not the point.
What do you care what Andy says? What do you care what Mike Felger says?
That's,
I don't get it.
That's not
that
the point.
That is the point. It's not a distraction, Fred. It doesn't have anything to do with their inner circle.
Has this or has it not been a distraction to Lawrence Maroney, this talk?
To him, yeah, it sounds like it has.
But okay, based on the way my team, painted, I don't like that.
Anything would be a distraction. Him being number two on the depth chart
it's
would
been
be
a distraction to him because
he's clearly sensitive to outside discussion.
Because he's allowed it to become a distraction.
Right,
yes.
And if he just shut his mouth,
now,
then he would be fixated on something else.
Ask me the same question about Kevin Garnett, and I'll tell you, no, it hasn't been
a distraction.
It's
not a distraction because he's not playing.
Right, and it hasn't affected him in the least.
Well, let me tell you something. Danny Ainge would have taken that back if he could have.
Well, it's funny because he probably said it about eight times between April 1st and the end of the playoffs.
Danny he said
Ainge,
it for a month straight.
He
never
said
took
it three
it
different times when I was and, on the big show with him.
And Glenn did a good job of leading him down that path. And as soon as he got there, Ainge realized what was going on. And that's when he started to backtrack.
We can. I agree with Andy and Eric here. I think we can move on to like Derek Burgess.
Well,
and
I just want to advance. No, I can even stay with this topic. You referenced Heath Evans. I thought if there is any sort of investigation into the Patriots and any sort of challenge of their procedures, I thought some of his quotes were detriment to the Patriots. I mean, he discussed about the chess match and you can't reveal your hand. And he was kind of talking about an intent to deceive, right?
Yeah.
And that's what his quotes were. And I think every team does it. Don't get me wrong here. I think every team does it. And I agree with Paul. I don't really have a problem with it.
Nah, I don't care.
But the Patriots kind of have a bullseye on their back because of history, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there is any sort of negative groundswell at owners' meetings like
sure.
there is now, and they come searching, to me there's some evidence that could get them in trouble where I think you could find the same evidence for almost every team. But they're not looking.
Right.
And that was
right.
the interesting part of the Florio thing to
and they
me.
They don't have someone who's willing to go out and talk about those things.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Who's a former player.
And I don't think he thought, oh, boy,
oh,
you
no,
know,
no.
I could
no,
do
he's not.
Do.
I don't
he's
think
just
he's intentionally
he was
doing
praising
it.
Bill in that mm-hmm. everything you do from the end mm-hmm. of one game to the next is part of preparation for the next week.
And,
exactly.
And there's a reason behind it. Bill doesn't
match,
do anything just
all
by
that.
Chance.
Right. But if there were to be any sort of spotlight put on what the – and I don't even know anything about the – affidavits that teams sign in the offseason.
Well, that's what I think
now.
Was the interesting part. You know, the Florio thing that he talked about wasn't necessarily the injury report because, again, I think we've been over that, and I don't think any of us really has a big problem with injury reports and kind of fudging them or whatever. Whatever you feel like gives you the best chance, you do. I don't care about that. But the thing that could cause a problem to the Patriots is this thing that Florio talked about where all the teams, and what was it, Fred? Head coach, owner, and GM?
Right.
All had to sign some, the word you used is affidavit, right. I don't know if it's as good as any to me, you know, kind of disclosing all the different elements of your game preparation and whatnot, and all the things that you did during the season basically were on the up and up. You
right.
didn't do anything to
right.
gain an unfair advantage, whether it be unfair scouting or video.
Yeah.
You know, it obviously is an offshoot, a byproduct of the Spygate aftermath.
Right.
And because of the Patriots, they've done this, and every team has had to do it. And some of the teams have said it's been an involved process where it wasn't just as simple as Scott Pioli, Bill Belichick, and Robert Kraft signing it. They had to go to their video department and their scouting department and their coaching
right,
staff.
To make sure that they weren't doing
and
yeah.
take over, you know, make sure every stone was,
sure.
wasn't left unturned. And they found out for sure with some certainty that they didn't do anything, and this might constitute something that could be deemed. I don't agree it. That I don't think it's an unfair advantage. The injury report I think is nonsense, and I think it's viewed as such.
Plus, I think those affidavits are. I mean, who's to say? I don't know exactly how they work and what they're supposedly covering. But like, if you're watching game tape from the last week and you saw that Matt Leick got away with seven holds, are you supposed to call the league and say, "Well, we cheated last week. We held."
I don't necessarily yeah. think that's what it's talking about.
I know, but I'm just saying what exactly is covered and isn't covered under these things, and what's major, what's minor, what's cheating, what's game planning? What's that? There's a lot of gray area there, if you ask me.
All right.
I think maybe if you noticed on game tape that Matt Light took a club into the game with him, and then, you know, that's an unfair advantage or something.
That choice of words based on today's clips.
Hey, Paul.
What did I miss in
being
today's
sued for being beating sued. Somebody up at a club.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I missed that.
It sounds a little sketchy to me, though.
It does.
Paul in London.
It does sound sketchy to me, too, but
well,
I would expect
the cameras had no...
I'm with you, Freddie.
Did not
Matt
pick
Light,
that up.
Matt
well,
Light
they saw,
beat on
they saw pushing and shoving in groups.
Right, but they didn't see any punches thrown. So it sounds like he got shoved into somebody, maybe.
Who?
The guy that had the broken nose or something.
That's not what he's saying.
He says he got punched, but the cameras
and another guy
them, you know,
got punched.
That.
But another guy got punched.
Yeah.
They know he got punched. He just said, I didn't say who did see who did it, and I want to leave. There was clearly some punches thrown. I don't know who threw them and who received them.
Matt Light didn't do anything. Paul,
till he leaves the team. Then Paul, you remember that brawl? He was guilty as charged.
But he's on the team for a while, so we don't have to worry about that.
Paul in London is the one who
he
bought us our
lunch.
Hey!
Yeah.
Including Fred's fried dough, which hasn't left his side.
Yeah, Fred, you going to share some of that with the rest of the class?
It's basically under his arm. Give me some of that. What's it called?
I heard Alex Smith had some
of
that.
I love you guys make fun of me, and then you want it, you know?
No, we make fun
of
you
upset
for
hogging the...
Yeah.
Were you upset when Alex Smith took
the
piece last
As he passed it by
week,
himself, he had to take half of it back with him.
he says, you're hoping enjoying your lunch. I think I might be the youngest lunch buyer ever, and luckily for Eric, Toyota Tacoma ordered it. Otherwise, this may have had poison in it. And yes, Eric, that is a joke. Eric's not taking this too lightly. He's very upset. Anyway, I thought I'd use my email to ask a few questions and end with a game. First, who would win in a game between the 85 Bears and the 07 Patriots? I think the Patriots, as they would have the spread offense that could cause problems for the Bears. What do you think about that?
I think the Patriots would blow them out.
I think they would
How's
win,
that
too.
Sound?
Yeah. As long as, they, as long as the O-line didn't do what it did against the Giants.
The Patriots
but that's what
offense did very well with exactly the thing that was the only way you could penetrate
46 defense?
That defense, and that's spread the field and throw the ball on them.
Yeah.
As long as you had had enough time to make enough plays, which obviously wasn't the case in the Super Bowl.
Right.
But that's why I'd take the Bears. Are we
what
about
the
Super
Bears'
Bowl?
Offense? You know what I mean? They had a pretty good offense that year, too. They had
It was okay, but
Payton
was okay. It was okay.
They just shut him down.
Yeah,
they
would
have I would take the Bears because I think the Bears, as Mike Singletary said, brought pressure that had never been seen before. And the Giants did that and beat them, so I'll take the Bears.
You have to have your eyes ridiculously wide open when you say that.
Second, who will be the new special teams captain? Could it be a guy like Sam Aiken or maybe Bubba Ventrone, or will it be one of the new guys?
I think one of those guys are good candidates.
I would not rule out Bubba Ventrone.
Okay.
I think he's... kind of guy that.
What about Tully Bannacane?
I would sort of rule him.
I'd rule him out.
Okay,
he's got to make the team first.
My
it
last
would be
question.
Everett Highlight to bring him back and make him a captain.
I mean, yeah, that's true. Ray Ventrone certainly would have to make the team first too.
That's a reference.
Yeah, but I think he's a little bit more
generally captains
secure.
Do need to be on the roster.
No, but I'm
unless
saying,
it's the all time team.
No, yeah, that's a good point. But don't get me and Andy going on that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway. The reason I said Ventrone would have to make the roster, too, I didn't want to make it sound like we just felt like, forget about it, he's a lock for the roster. He's not. He's got to make the team, just like Bantacane
I think he's
does.
Pretty close to a lock.
I don't.
He's on the roster.
My last question is about the NFL as a whole. Who do you see as the top five at QB, running back, wide receiver, general pass rusher, and defensive back? Well, that's a lot.
The top five in all of those categories?
In the NFL. I mean, yeah, come on. I don't know. We can't do that right now. All right, quick over-under.
Guy buys lunch and doesn't get what he wants.
Well,
in the
it's going to take forever.
Well, he bought lunch.
Top five
plus. I don't know anyone outside
Brady,
the AFC, so
Brady,
barely know
Manning,
that.
Manning,
Roethlisberger, Rivers, Breeze.
I would like to take Breeze
I'll
out
take,
of there, but.
So put somebody else in.
I think Breeze is overrated, but okay. I'll go.
I'm okay.
I'll go
I'm
with
okay
those
with
five.
I'm okay
what's
with
what's
that.
The next category?
Running backs.
Quick running backs.
You really don't even want to give any time to this.
I mean,
huh?
The guy bought
the guy
you
just
lunch,
us lunch,
Fred, for crying out loud. Give him
Adrian,
his due.
Fred, just
Peterson.
Because you don't know five guys in the league from all the different positions doesn't mean the rest of us don't.
Okay, go ahead.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah,
check.
I would have to go with one on that. Yes.
I hate to say it, but LaDainian.
No,
I don't think.
Is he still?
I don't know. When healthy, maybe. I don't know whether he was healthy or done last year.
It's tough.
Does his former backup get some recognition?
Thomas Jones.
I'm going to give you Brian Westbrook.
I don't think he's done enough for me. I'll take
Brian Westbrook.
I'm
going to
give you Brian Westbrook.
I'll put Westbrook up there. Okay. Frank Gore?
No.
No?
No.
Clinton Portis?
Yeah, he's done it now two places at an elite level, so I'll give it Clinton Portis. And he's working out, according to Drew Rosenhaus, best shape of
now,
his
the
life.
Guy, I mean, the guy from the Rams is kind of not...
Steven Jackson? He's had too many injuries, he's probably one of the most talented out of those, you know, top five talented backs.
How about Ronnie Brown? Given the extra things.
There were a lot of guys that had breakout years last year that I'd be hesitant to put in the top five, although I think they had top five
Chris Johnson?
Years. Chris Johnson,
he's one.
Both guys from Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
There was another guy.
Matt Forte.
What about
Turner, I'd put in that group. There's a whole list of guys that had great 2008s.
What about the Giants running back?
Brandon Jacobs. I like him a lot, too.
All these guys need to do it this year for me, and then I'll put them in. There's a bunch of guys right on the cusp of because we've had the turnover from Alexander and LT.
I put Fred Taylor at 3 or 4.
On the Patriots depth chart? Sure.
What do you have? Wide receivers next?
Wide receiver.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Yeah.
Andre Johnson.
That's
uncontested
top
two. That's
a good one because I think he'd fly under the radar a little bit. Who else?
Still put Moss in T.O.?
I think you still got to consider Moss.
Yeah. I mean, if he actually caught the passes that hit him in the hands, he would have had 2,000 yards.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were analyzing
I think the guy that the Cowboys just got from the Lions.
Roy Williams.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put him in the top five.
I don't know. He's pretty good.
I'll tell you who had
He's very good.
You know,
but
the running back equivalent of what Andy just talked about, the guys that had great year. Roddy White had a great year last year.
Roddy White did.
For Atlanta. I wouldn't say he's a top five wide receiver.
That's tough to say.
Reggie
Wayne is pretty consistent all of a sudden. You know, since Harrison got hurt, he's been...
Can you be pretty consistent all of a sudden?
Yeah. Well, like the last 3 years, it came out of...
Consistency
quietly.
I think
he meant like quietly consistent.
I think he was the opposite before that.
A little erratic.
Oh, God. Please, stop showing that. Stop it.
What's next? Pass rusher?
Yeah, general pass rusher.
James Harrison.
General Patton.
DeMarcus Ware.
Julius Peppers.
Freeney.
The guy who's had double-digit sacks was.
Julius Peppers, I'll put in there. When he tries, he's good.
Freeney, I think. I think Fred's right on Freeney, too. I think he's...
Sure, we'll put Freeney in there. How many more we got?
He's a constant threat.
Anybody one on more? The Giants? Anybody on that line that undressed this one?
Well, Umanyora didn't play last year, but I would put Umanyora in that classification.
Okay, Umanyora, what's next?
How about... And defensive back.
I'll just throw Champ Bailey on there because everybody does. Asante Samuel.
Patrick Chung.
Ed Reed.
I'm going to throw a name out that I have no idea about that people say Cortland Finnegan is one of the best corners in the league.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
Ed Reed still.
I don't think he's one of the best corners.
Oh, safeties are in this?
Well, defensive back.
Yeah. Oh. The defensive secondary.
Troy Polamalu.
You know, I like
Polamalu,
that term, Paul.
You have to put in there.
Didn't know there was an offensive secondary.
Yep. Okay.
Now I feel more comfortable moving on to the next
email. Okay, Fred, get some more PFW in Progress merchandise sorted. I'm tired of just having a T-shirt. We need some more stuff from the four of you. I'm sure a lot of us would pre-order stuff to show you how many you could sell to make it cost-efficient. Can't wait to meet you all when I come over this winter or at Wembley game, and I'll buy lunch again.
Yes.
Eric sucks. Merry Christmas.
Now, were these people willing to buy, like, personal stuff if I just, like, go in my closet and stuff I don't want anymore?
Possibly.
Wave runner.
Yeah.
I'll sell you
some of those jerseys.
What would you give me for a high school football jersey? Andy Hart original.
How about some of those old VHS tapes you found?
I got those. Fred wants me to bring those
you
in
can make
so
copies
he can post
of those.
Them. He wants to post old shows on the web. I don't know why.
I think it'd be funny.
The show sucked
I got
live.
A BU baseball shirt. Can that go?
Sure.
How about my Letterman jacket?
You know what we can do is, you know, we can send him to James and have him post it on PFW in Progress.
Send what?
The old shows.
Oh, okay.
You know?
It's my video, dude.
So, Will the Thrill had the PFW in Progress T-shirt on last night when I got home.
It shrunk that far at this point?
No, it's way too big.
They shrank.
But it was a smaller one that Beth had, too. So.
Because remember the issue Fred washed his?
Oh,
it was just gut hanging out.
Yeah. Classic moment.
You should have had anything to do with the laundry?
Classic moment yesterday for the Perillo boys. They were out. And they were at one of those places, you know, I think it's called Monkey Joe's. It's like one of those gym places with all kinds of stuff to jump on and bouncy houses and everything. They go through these obstacle courses. Anyway, TJ, who's only two, is in there, and there's some big kid, much bigger than him. He was like 6 or 7 years old, who was picking on him. He kept pushing him over. Will came over and buried him.
Nice. Nice.
Tackled him from the blind side and was on top of him.
Wait, clarify. TJ or the kid that was bullying him?
No, TJ was getting killed.
I know.
And
I
the kid that bullied
joking
TJ.
Joking whether Will came over and leveled TJ
or
the kid.
Oh, I see.
Because I know they fight.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, it was he came
kind
over.
Kind of like Eric. We can make fun of Eric.
He tackled him.
PFW.
If it was a woman in a parking lot, I'd say he takes just after you.
He tackled him from behind, and he was on top of him for a while.
After Eric.
And then and my wife actually kind of went over and was calling him like through the net, saying, all right, Will, that's enough, that's enough. So he got off, and she was telling me he was at least 6 or 7 years old. Like, he probably could have killed Will if he wanted to pick on Will.
Well, that's how bullies usually are.
So I told him, you know, that was good that he did that. And then I said, so what happened after that? Back to your point, he went over on top of TJ. And I said,
only I can kick my brother's ass.
That's what I said. I said, so it's okay if you beat on TJ, but no one else can. And he started laughing. So that was a nice moment for the Perillo boys. I really didn't know if that was ever going to happen.
Nice.
Little defense.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get him to play outside linebacker.
Sure.
Rushing from the blind side, taking people down who are bigger than him.
Strip sack.
You know?
Yeah, but if that happens, then the Patriots will get rid of their football program after a couple years.
What does that mean?
Because, you know, the last time you played on a football team, they got rid of football.
Yeah, that happened. What football team
did
I play on?
Oh, you didn't play on BU?
He played baseball, and they got rid of baseball.
Oh, whatever.
Like 8 years after I played for them, but that's okay.
Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com.
Wait a minute. I got to call you out.
What?
For a ridiculous joke I heard as you were leaving the office today.
Oh, yeah. That was
I was leaving the office?
You were going out the glass door into the lobby, and I hear you say, hey, getting kind of skinny. You're going to have to run around to get wet in the shower. What the hell is wrong with you?
Who was he talking to?
Nolan. Oh.
Jim Nolan is getting very skinny.
Yeah, he's doing the diet.
Okay. Okay, Aunt Camilla.
But, I mean.
Well, I didn't want to endorse the particular one. They're not a sponsor.
Diet.
You know they're lame jokes when you're saying them, right? When you steal them from a late night comedian and then use them.
He made that up at the University of Tampa.
Right.
Is that where you went?
They get them from him.
University of Tampa?
He's been to a number of different universities.
Unlike you, I try to engage with
none of them had a lacrosse team, by the way.
You know.
See, I know myself. I would say something dumb, so I just don't say anything at all.
That's good.
That's what Mom always said.
Exactly. See? My point exactly.
You
with
say
the
you're getting awful skinny. I would have said, you look like you got cancer.
Right. Because you're an idiot. Let's see. On the
phone
right now is Lucky. Lucky, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you doing?
Good. How you been?
Long time no hear.
Yeah, well, I've been busy with the move and then training and kind of I haven't been able to do much or even listen to the show. I haven't listened to the show in a couple weeks.
Wow,
that's too bad.
Yeah, so. But I was up in Gillette Stadium 2 weeks ago for the coaching clinic.
Wait a minute. Oh, the coaching clinic. Okay.
Yeah. For they had it Saturday.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a pretty good experience. And we got to see a little tape of Tom Brady throwing some passes. That Bill O'Brien showed, and he said he wasn't going to show the date, but they end up rewinding the tape, and at the beginning of the date, it said 4/29/09, 13 perfect passes.
Wow, nice.
So, he looked good out there, so I'm not worried.
Little inside scoop from Lucky.
Good job, Lucky.
It's good stuff.
PFW in progress. This is where you come to find out the inside information.
That's right.
Yeah. So how you guys? How have you been?
We're doing great.
Just hanging out.
Just all right.
Killed it. Just all right.
All right.
I'm busy as hell.
You're never busy.
Fred is overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed? Why is he overwhelmed?
Well, he's got a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff on his plate. Not to mention the fried dough.
You have a mini camp tomorrow, right? The media access.
Yes.
Yes.
Are y'all gonna blog that?
Oh, absolutely. Andy will be right on that
after.
Yeah. You go to blog it after?
We're not allowed
to blog during practice.
What time is the practice for media access?
It's late morning.
10:45 to 12, I think, something like that.
I think that's when practice is. I think the access takes
coming
place after
off the
that.
Field.
Yeah.
I think we're invited to go there at 10:45, aren't we?
I hope so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Planning on it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're invited to practice.
Right. After the noon hour, 1 o'clock maybe, I'll have a blog entry. From the Heart, or Hearts Farts, whatever I decide to title it. What do you like better, From the Heart or Hearts Farts?
From the Heart.
Let's go
with
less.
It's Reese's Pieces. Why can't it be Hearts Farts?
Well, you answer that question. idiot.
I don't think you want me answering that question.
I like the idiot thrown in. Remember when he was agreeing with you yesterday? Yeah.
That's gone.
So what else, Lucky?
What do we got?
Nothing else. I told you, like I said, I moved. I just bought a house. So
where'd you buy a house?
My first home in Springfield, in East Forest Park. It's a nice house. I'm currently converting my basement into a Patriots room. So once I get it finished, I'll send you guys the picture.
Nice.
Okay. All right.
Been riding your motorcycle?
Yep. Been riding my motorcycle. Actually, probably will go out riding tomorrow on Thursday.
Yep.
I would go today, but I have some training I have to do this afternoon. So.
All right.
I've been pretty busy, but I just wanted to call and touch bases and say hello.
All right. Well, we appreciate you calling, Lucky.
Yep. Yeah, guys, take care.
Thanks for the insight.
Good work, all right?
All right, thanks, man. Thanks for the info. And Brady looks good on 429.
You hear it right there.
13 straight passes.
From someone who knows, who's actually seen it.
That's good stuff.
Which is opposite. I saw a play-by-play of Matt Cassel's first OTAs. And
oh, really?
No surprise, Dwayne Bowe dropped the first pass he threw.
Oh.
And then his second throw towards Bowe was way off target or something. Yeah. So first two were not pretty.
Now, you know that that's calculated by the Patriots because they don't do anything like that without talking about it first. So they want this to go out through the back channels that, hey, Brady looked good. I saw a tape, you know.
And that'll be interesting tomorrow to see what we get out of Brady.
Yeah.
See if, you know, see if he's there or see how they're going to handle that. Or
see if he hits on 13 straight perfect passes.
And if he's there, if they make him available, if he's, you know, if he makes himself available, I should say. Mm.
Who are the other guys
on the team? There's
no interesting to watch who have reason to. I mean, obviously, we're not going to see much, but Sean Crable at outside linebacker or Lawrence Maroney.
Sean Springs and Lee Bodden.
I was thinking more injuries, but yeah, new guys.
I would like to see a guy like Joey Galloway.
Galloway. Because you know he's fast.
Well, yeah. And I want to see how fast.
He's coming back from an injury.
Dallas Thomas. Ty Warren's had some procedures.
Ty Warren?
I bet you he won't be out there.
Yeah, he
probably not.
Seymour?
Yeah.
James Sanders? I just want to see him.
Just wants to see him.
Hey, James.
You missed him. Hey, James.
All right. All right. Hey,
I gave myself an all right there, meaning read an email.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. Patriots Director of Pro... Oh, no, this is old. Nick Casario already did that.
Andre Tippett is up next at the Hall.
Andre Tippett is
the next
speaker.
In the speaker series. I forget exactly when, but it's coming up.
Okay. That's good.
Fred, when are you up? When are you in the rotation?
I don't have time. They've asked me.
I don't have time.
He'll be up soon.
Sean in Singapore. Hey, guys, and Eric of PFW in Progress. Just a thought. If Michael Vick is reinstated by Roger Goodell, though I doubt he will, would you guys take a chance on him and sign him? Obviously not as our starting QB, but maybe as our third-string Wildcat QB. I feel that he has paid his dues for the terrible things he's done, and hence I'm willing to gamble one spot on the roster on him. I think he's much more proven than Julian Edelman and is more motivated to prove himself again. Or is media and fan relations simply too big an issue to ignore?
Interesting you should ask. That's going to be the very topic of Debate Friday on Patriots.com.
So we'll have to
wait until
Friday to see what
we hold off.
Andy and I will be duking it out. Yeah, we want to save it for them. We don't want to give too much of it away.
Cut me right out of that. I'd have no problem with that.
Let's answer it at all.
I was all set to just go with my fallback of, no, I think the outside linebacker situation is fine.
They'll be fine. No one man makes this team. Except Brady.
Let's see. Nico from the Philippines. I've been
supporting
the team here for almost 9 years now, and I must say I can't really wait till next season. I have not listened to your show, but only this offseason I've been watching, listening all the moves we do from your end. You really guys are funny, and jokes are off the hook. I just want to ask some questions. One, can you grade our linebackers this year? 1 to 10 highest. I know we have doubts on our depth, but when you look at the youth we have, excluding Teddy Bruschi and AD, this is a good crew to build on,
starters.
Especially when you have Mayo to lead the crew.
So, great. Ranking them 1 to 10.
10 is the highest.
10 is the highest.
Each one?
5? 6?
Oh, I thought it was individual.
Oh.
That's a group?
No, it's a group.
Oh.
I'd say 6.
5 or 6. Just because it's
unproven. A lot of the, exactly.
6.5.
Yeah, that's about what I was going to say.
Not surprised that you went with the highest one. But
me?
No.
I am Fred. Mr. Positive.
Fred said 6.5.
No, forget it. I mean, you think the Patriots would have lost to the The 85. But you can't even say past Patriots teams would have beaten past teams from other eras. That's how positive you are.
I'm just saying. 85 Bears were better than the 07 Giants.
The one thing
the
you could do.
The 07 Giants whooped them.
The one thing you could do to the 85 Bears was throw the ball.
Was the theory going against the Giants that they didn't have a good secondary and you could throw on them. So you couldn't throw on anyone because you were on your back.
I don't know what the numbers were, but I'm not sure that.
Andy does make a good point. Was the 85 Bears defense better than the 07 Giants? Answer, probably yes.
I would say
yes.
And if
the Patriots had that much trouble against the Giants, wouldn't logic say they'd have that much trouble against the Bears?
I just think it was different.
I don't think they would have had that much trouble with them on another day.
On another day.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm kind of using the Super Bowl as the day. Like, if it's a championship matchup, it was that day. They were ill-prepared that day to face that type of intense pressure that the world had never seen.
I know, but the first time they had faced that pressure that the world had never seen, they put 38 points on the
exactly.
board.
Right.
So,
but this is for the battle think, for it all.
Yeah,
so
but
this
the
is
first
Super
time
Bowl.
That they faced
I'm
that
taking
type
the Bears
of pressure
at
that the world hadn't seen, they really didn't give that type of pressure that the world hadn't seen.
They did. It's just the Patriots picked it up like the world had never seen the first time. That's going to be a new thing.
Second question by Nico. I just want to ask you guys, which player in the team has Filipino blood? I'm a huge fan of his, and it made me really proud supporting his team. In clue, I just mentioned his name. So which player has Filipino blood?
I don't know who just named, but so it's Tully Bantakane?
He mentioned Brewski, AD, and Mayo.
Then I'll go.
Brewski.
Think Brewski?
Then okay. I'll go Mayo. Paul, you take AD.
Okay.
I think it might be Brewski.
We don't have the answer?
I don't know. Lastly, with Brady back and Moss coming off a season without him, can you expect the same explosion this year? Or the jitters will somehow show with the year off? Do you think they'll have the same type of production, Moss and Brady?
No, they will not have the same type of production. That was a special year. But I think there's two schools of thought here in covering my bases. One is Moss hasn't been hurt at all, and at his age might be due for some injuries. But the other side, I think the other target, I think their receiving core was upgraded this offseason.
Sure.
With Joey Galloway
Lewis. I do as well.
Not Michael Lewis, Greg Lewis, not the author.
I think Joey Galloway is the best
this year
third receiver
better than what it was in 07.
I think so. I think Galloway's better than Stallworth.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think he can be. I still need to see it. Stallworth was pretty good that year. You remember breaking tackles and making occasionally
most
plays.
Yaks.
And also, Gaffney was good that year as the number four, making a couple plays.
Yeah.
Now, I thought they stepped back when Gaffney had to move up to three and didn't play all that well, as we projected in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I really think if Galloway still has anything left, he can be Stallworth, and I think Lewis can very much be Gaffney in that fourth role underneath, you know, two catches every three games, but they're two big ones. They're first downs, they help keep drives alive. You know, I think they could be good.
Yeah, and I like the fact that all these guys are here now. They're all here for the passing camps. You know, obviously they could add somebody later, but these guys that we're talking about that could lead to a good core of receivers are here right now. And they're getting to know Brady. Brady's getting to know them. That's a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Let's see.
Did you read my latest blog on From the Heart?
I did. The one about Parade Magazine?
Yeah. What'd you think of that weird quote?
It was kind of weird.
All right.
But I think that's
what quote was that, Andy?
The final proof of that, I think, is Fred. Just to
it was kind of weird.
But just to get the listeners up to date, there was a small little Q&A in the Parade Magazine on Sunday.
Or you can go to the blog.
And it said, yeah, and Fred, Andy put the blog, put the post up on the blog, and it just basically said, you know, how Brady was doing was the question. And it's kind of like one of these celebrity kind of things.
Who answered Walter it? Scott. He does the Parade of Celebrities or something.
Yeah.
You open the Parade Magazine, it's the inside cover. Uh-huh. And it's always just random questions about movie, music, sometimes sports, politics.
And there was one, it was like a one-paragraph answer that said, Brady's doing well. He's working out in the Boston area.
6 hours a day, 4 days a week.
6 hours a day, 4 days a week.
Not legal.
And he has 2 years left in his contract, and he is
fully intending on returning
this year.
Who said he wasn't?
Now, the weird part to me was the fact that in the middle of this, like I said, kind of innocuous one-paragraph answer was he has 2 years left in his contract. And Andy had it all ready to go up on the blog, and he brought it over to me. He said, read this and tell me what you think. And I read it. And I kind of gave him a strange look. He goes, that's exactly what I said. And the fact that you just said it was a weird quote would sort of confirm it. I don't know where that 2 years left in this contract would come into this at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's a weird quote because that wasn't one of the questions. How long is he going to be a Patriot or whatever?
Right. The second part of the quote is he's work. If it had just said he's working out 4 days a week and he fully intends to be ready for the season, okay, that was the question.
Because that
was
his
rehab.
Question. How's he doing?
Where does 2 years on his contract and where does
that
come into play?
There?
And it was, we should say it was from an associate close to Brady's.
Close associate
of Brady's.
Yeah.
Who provided the info?
I read
to the,
as like it's business
it,
side.
Did it say, said that?
What?
Associate close to Brady?
Yeah. Or a close associate, whatever the wording was.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Yeah, we had two different schools of thought as to who that associate might be. But either one, I think it would be very strange to have the words 2 years left in this contract included in the rest of that explanation.
Yeah. Alejandro from Bogota writes in, "Hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, and Eric. Here's a situation I want you to think about. Suppose Eric and Steven Guskowski bet $1,000 on a kicking contest, and for whatever reason, the Pro Bowl kicker ends up winning it. What would happen if Eric says, look, I don't have the money, but here's a black and white pencil portrait of you that you could, that should cover the bet?
Eric doesn't find his art funny.
Well, you'd be giving him much more value than $1,000, right?
That's true.
You'd be
getting
a deal.
Steal. Not for a sketch.
Yeah.
Not
but for, if it's a sketch of, like, that dog, then
isn't that
it's
all you
of
do
no value
sketches?
To him, you know?
A sketch of that dog?
Yeah.
I don't think he considers what he does sketches, Fred. I think he's bristling at the term.
No. A sketch is different than a painting, is what I'm saying. A sketch wouldn't draw you
$1,000. Your preferred
black and white
medium
pencil portrait.
Was pencil.
No, I've been charcoal. Painting.
When did, oh, that's right. After much, what's
Shut
the
up.
Word on the website?
Deliberation?
No, after
just
everybody was
consternation,
much clamoring from his fans, he's
oh,
decided
right.
to open up his art to include painting or something.
Due to popular demand.
Yeah, there it is.
Due to popular
demand. Who? Who? Other than your mom, who?
No, he has a friend called Popular Demand, and she asked him to do the painting.
Did he paint her nude, too?
I have no formal artistic training.
All right.
It's the only honest thing you've ever said.
On to serious stuff. It's hard for me to say.
I called
it,
you
but
an idiot.
Hart,
that's honest.
Andy Hart wrote a nice piece about the lackluster rush and loose coverage of last year's team. Of course, it's the negative piece.
That's Andy's specialty.
I think it was Debate Friday.
Oh.
It would seem the latter problem has been attended. But with the free agent period coming to a close, how do you foresee the Patriots getting more pressure? Can you teach or scheme a better pass rush, or is it just talent?
Both.
I think you could definitely scheme a better pass rush, but that all depends on how well you cover. If you cover well and you allow, you know, different things to happen up front, I think you can get real creative. And I think that's a lot of what they did back in the glory days of 03 and 04. Was it 03 that they had like 29 interceptions?
Yeah.
You know, Eugene Wilson's rookie year, they had all those picks, right?
Yeah.
You know, with Ty Law and Tyrone Poole played reasonably well that season as well. Wilson and Harrison obviously played well at safety. That allows you to do all kinds of blitzing and stunts and get creative. I don't really think the Patriots had the luxury of doing a lot of that stuff last year because, as the coaches put it, when you're not getting vanilla right, it's hard to go to chocolate and strawberry.
Which we kind of countered with, your vanilla's been god-awful. Why not try chocolate and strawberry? It can't be any worse than your vanilla.
At least a little fudge swirl.
Right.
Oh.
A couple of our listeners, including strippers, has told us that Teddy Bruschi's mother is of Filipino descent. So, on the phone right now is Mike in Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Great, now that you called.
Welcome back, Eric.
Thanks, Michael. Missed you.
Did you guys get to talk about the Derek Burgess possible trade?
Yes. You like it?
Oh, okay. He's got pretty good numbers, at least even though he's been hurt for a while. But I guess I'll just download the podcast and listen to your opinion later on, not to repeat whatever you guys said before. A couple of things. I was actually looking into YouTube, and I found some Vince Red highlights when he was at Liberty.
Yep.
And he was pretty quick off the blocks. I mean, he was catching people from behind, running away from him like at least four or five times. I mean, he's got a good burst. So if he can translate that into an actual pass rush, I think would be it'd be a pretty good asset. I don't know what you guys thought about it, or if you have some film on him, any videos that you might want to share with us.
We do not have a ton of video on him,
no.
But I mean, he has the physical abilities, the size, the speed.
He looks the part.
Characteristics.
No doubt.
But,
no doubt looks the part.
And I know it's a lesser degree because he's an undrafted player, but it's the same thing kind of as Sean Crable.
Yeah.
They both have the size-speed ratio that you're looking for to play that position, but they need to show that they can play that position at even a backup NFL level, never mind a starting NFL level.
I agree.
But I could see your comments as to Sean Crable because I actually looked up some highlights from him too, and even though he looks lightning fast, he just looks like he has such a short base to work with. But even though with that base, he could actually take on blockers and shed them pretty well. So maybe with some good training and stuff like that, maybe get him with Adelius Thomas diet, we might be looking at a powerful force maybe down the line if he actually gets his act together and take some learning from the veterans that we have. And to let you go, guys, Fred, any word on the All Access for iTunes?
All Access for iTunes. We'll have to have Chris email us in and see if that's possible. I guess it's possible. I mean,
same thing you told him last time.
That's Fred for. I completely forgot when you asked me that last time.
Well, can you look into it?
Chris listens. I mean, he could just tell me.
Chris is useless.
I mean, it's not a problem.
Is he here today?
We put a two-hour – it's a bigger file because this show's 2 hours, but it's all audio. That would be video. So it would be a pretty big download for people. But I think we could do it.
But iTunes does have, hour-long show, two-hour-long shows
even
that you can download on if you have a video
iPod. Do we not allow people to download All Access directly from Patriots.com?
It's not available.
I don't think it's available.
We put the show up.
It streams.
To download. It's available for streaming. I don't know if you can download.
We don't know about it. Chris will have to email us.
No, we do know about it. It's not available as a download. That's what he wants.
Anything,
and
Doc?
Last time he asked, you said you'd look into it, and you didn't.
Mike, would it matter whether it was iTunes or on Patriots.com for download?
I honestly don't see a difference. I couldn't tell you because I'm not that into tech. But I do know that the videos that I stream for, the Patriots Today, the one with Christina Acra, I mean, that thing just comes out flawless. So, and it's out of iTunes, so I guess that would be the best way to go. At least that would work for me. I don't know about everybody else.
Okay, well, we'll look
Ferreira
into it.
Ferreira sucks. Merry Christmas.
All right.
See you, Mike.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling in. Hey, it's 1:08. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
Saturday, May 30th, Boston-based band Lansdowne comes to Gillette Stadium for an exclusive pregame party before the New England Revolution take on conference rivals DC United.
So I've got this story not too long ago. September brought love songs, November came.
The party kicks off at 5:30 p.m. with an exclusive set from Lansdowne. Appearances by the Rev Girls, imported and domestic beers with discounted food, capped off by two bitter rivals facing off on the field. Limited quantity of tickets are available for just $35. This ticket gets you access to the pregame party, a seat in the fort for the game, and a limited edition Revolution t-shirt. Don't wait. Order yours today by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Lansdowne, the revolution. The party never stops at Gillette Stadium. Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've got about a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
Lacrosse fans, once again, the NCAA Men's Championship is taking place right here in New England. That's right, the NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championship, the only NCAA event that includes all three divisions, will take place at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 2009. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the United States, and Gillette Stadium will once again be the home of the championships. This is an NCAA event you don't want to miss. Fans from all over the country will descend upon Foxborough to watch this exciting once-in-a-lifetime event. Order your tickets today while seats are still available. Log on to www.lax2009.com. That's lax2009.com or order through Ticketmaster. May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. It's the 2009 Men's Lacrosse Championship. If you love lacrosse, this is the one sports event you don't want to miss.
And now, fun facts from Fred Kirsch.
Fred,
yeah,
are your sources telling you that the report that Dolphin Stadium is going to become Landshark Field, is that accurate?
I heard that too. What is Landshark? Is that a company now?
Lager. It's a beer.
It's one of Jimmy Buffett's beers.
That's cool.
He's,
I know,
he has
weird,
a,
though.
He has
the Dolphins
play
at Landshark.
Yeah, it is. That is weird. Because the shark isn't a dolphin. One's a mammal. Right. One's a mammal and the other's a fish. Right?
They're That's class record. A shark's not a dolphin.
That was a
fun fact
from Fred Kirsch.
Nothing gets
I like
by
the
you.
Fun fact.
All right.
Are we back?
Yeah, we're back, Fred.
We've been back for five minutes.
He can't just sit there.
When
you
point,
give me
when
a
he
signal.
Points to you.
I didn't see the point.
Yeah, but that's because you were in a trance because Matt Damon was on the TV
you
screen.
You normally don't see the
and
point.
And evidently, who knew but Fred Hart's Matt Damon.
You got a thing for Matt Damon?
No, I was just
it's
watching.
Like one of those Fox News anchors with the blonde hair was on or something.
Watching the Bernie Mac show, and Matt Damon was on it.
Where is he now?
Bernie Mac?
Bernie Mac or Matt Damon?
He's dead, you know.
Bernie Mac. Dead, you know.
Tree Hugger in Oregon says, I'm always working during the broadcast of the show, so I can never call in, but I thought I'd give this MP3 thing a try.
All right.
I love the show, and I'm definitely overdue to buy lunch. Let me know how that works, and I'll kick in my share. Thanks for the laughs and Patriots insight. So Tree Hugger has an MP3. You ready to go on that? Oh, I really threw him for a tizzy. He's all sweating.
Threw
in
him for a tizzy.
He's running.
I was on the phone. Relax.
Who are you talking to?
The next caller.
The next caller. All right. Well, let's hear this MP3 from Tree Hugger.
And now, another MP3 from Tree Hugger in Oregon. You guys were chuckling a little about Sebastian Vollmer's press conference posted to the website, conducted entirely in German. But I thought it was pretty informative. Definitely. I mean, really, the only question left unanswered was, Ich verstehe nicht im Minicamp, ich bin der Spiegel? Perhaps another 30 minutes of Deutschsprechen would clear that up. Anyhow, I don't know if Eric is back yet today, but I thought it would be fun to have a little quiz about his vacation. Along with the talk of pretend girlfriends, here are a few questions regarding his visit to the annual conference of Not Actually My Babe Love Association. Anyhow, if Eric is back, maybe you guys can give your guesses and Eric can give the actual answers. So here we go. Number one, which is most likely to be true by the end of June? Eric will have a real girlfriend or Eric will sell an existing work of art?
Art.
That's a tough one.
Number two.
Art.
Percent chance Eric took photos for an above the waist website. Number three, below the waist. Number four, number of bags of sand Eric felt during his trip. And lastly, number five, percent chance Eric will tell the truth about any of this.
Zero.
And
100.
Another MP3 from Tree Hugger, Oregon.
Wow. Okay. Very good,
hey,
Tree Hugger.
You know what? We called for some increased production value
That's
last
right.
week.
Yeah.
Tree Hugger came through.
Got to
do something about the muffled
right,
sound, though.
If he does it outside the telephone booth, next time it'll be great.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
okay. It was still funny.
Why, he had one last week? He had an MP3
no.
last week?
No, we had an MP3. I think Mikey Vandalism checked in.
Oh.
And we
babbling.
You know, we like Mikey Vandalism's MP3s, but
just,
we were looking for a little bit more.
Right.
You know?
And that was certainly Stephen above and beyond.
Hasn't been around lately.
Yeah, that's true.
But I like the WWE
nice entrance
and exit. I like that.
Speaking of WWE, behind you on ESPN was Vince McMahon doing an interview.
About the Nuggets thing?
He has never seen a camera in publicity that he
That's
didn't
a classic.
Love. I mean, he can't buy
Fred,
this
exposure. You know about this, right, Fred?
Yeah, yeah. This exposure, the Nuggets, mainstream sports exposure, he can't buy enough of that.
The Nuggets is set to host Game 4 of their Western Conference Final Monday night. And they've
Monday
already,
Night Raw.
They've already booked
to be at the
Pepsi, I think it's
Center.
Pepsi. Yeah, it's Pepsi. And Vince McMahon says,
said,
"Well, you know,
you
should have more. You should have had more faith in your team to get this far."
Yeah, he's right. Let's see.
It's not
on
like
the
we
phone.
Schedule things for January around here, right?
Right.
We wouldn't have a concert here in January.
Guess who would go to an outdoor concert in January?
Let's see. On the phone right now is Harold from High Point. Harold from High Point. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great.
Is that Harold?
Yeah. I spoke to y'all a year ago. Y'all wanted me to, you know, make up a poem or something. Here I am a year later.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
it took you a whole year?
What's this, an Eric painting?
Bad news for that, though. I don't have a poem.
Oh. You tried. You gave it a good effort, though. For a year, we gave you an A for effort.
However, I have a couple of questions. I mean, it is about the linebackers, but I'm going to go to the offense side first. I want to, okay, yeah, I took Brandon Tate in the third round, right?
Yes.
Right.
Well, now, I don't want him to get cut. I really don't.
I don't think he will. He probably won't even get on the field.
But
he's got no chance of getting cut.
Why did they take him if he's not going to be on the field this year? I want him on the field this year.
Well, the thing is, with his injury, if they put him on PUP, maybe like toward the end of the season, but they looked at him when he's healthy as first round value, and they figured, look, let's take him in the third round, let him rehab, take his time, and then maybe in 2010 we have ourselves a first round value for a third round pick. It's a gamble, but I think they thought it was worth taking.
It's kind of similar to when Willis McGahee blew out his knee in the BCS title game. The Bills still took him in the first round of the draft, a little bit higher example than this one, but they felt like they knew he wasn't going to be a player for them that season,
right?
But they knew that when he got healthy, he was going to be a player.
Yeah.
The Patriots just got a steal in the third round.
Right.
Same thing.
Willis McGahee probably would have been a top six pick or something had he not gotten hurt, top five pick. Yeah. They got him at 23 or something.
I think it was 23.
They're doing the same thing. They're saying, well, we got a top 10 franchise talent at the bottom of the first round.
Oh, okay, now, so, I mean, that's good. I mean, I think that's how it should go. I just don't, you know, I really believe that he's better than Chad Jackson. Yes, I don't believe it's going to take him 3 years to, you know, step up as a starter and, you know,
right.
And just get cut after the preseason.
That's right. We hope that that doesn't happen.
Shouldn't be too hard to be better than Chad Jackson at this point either.
Yeah.
You gotta have one game.
Maybe not faster in college, but, I mean, as long as you got the hands, I mean, who wouldn't want to catch a pass from Tom Brady?
True that.
All right. But I'm gonna go away from that. Now, as far as linebackers, now say Teddy Bruschi comes back and Junior Seau comes back and both of them get injured, some type of random injury within the first six games of this year, and say Gerard Mayo goes down too.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Who's going to plug in?
Well,
I mean, aren't we still going to have a problem?
Well, Gary Guyton is a guy that they like. They really like Gary Guyton. They're looking for big things from on the inside, Gary Guyton.
Well, first of all, Junior Seau is not currently a Patriot.
And I wouldn't
if
expect
your little scenario
be.
Unfolded, he would be the
retirement.
Guy.
He's going to go into retirement.
I would think so.
But in your scenario, if injuries hit, he's not under contract. He signed late last year under a one-year deal to finish the year. But he would be the guy they might call.
I didn't read up on that, so I had no idea.
But if they get all those injuries, they're going to be screwed no matter where it is, what position, which players
are involved. I mean, it's a pretty thin spot, and if you're going to talk about losing your better players that you have now, you'd obviously be scrambling around somewhat to try to fill in the gaps.
I mean, I always thought like this. I mean, I believe no matter how many good secondaries we have, we can have two Rodney Harrisons back in their prime day and two Ty Laws, and if we don't got a front seven, they're going to get burned. Everybody's going to look like Ellis Hobbs, man. They're going to get burned. They're going to get killed, man. I really want some pressure this year. I mean, me and the rest of the Patriots fans, we want pressure. We really want more pressure than what we've seen last year. in the year before.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really dependent on that front seven.
We agree with you. We thought we were going to have that last year. And we thought the front seven was going to provide the pass rush to masquerade the deficiencies in the secondary, and it didn't happen. And hopefully it'll happen this year. But the secondary has been upgraded, too, so that should help.
I think that's going to help the pass rush a lot.
I don't want Lawrence Maroney to come back. I don't care.
You don't?
I really don't.
Why?
I don't want him to come back. He hasn't shown me anything.
Well, I mean, that's not being fair to Lawrence Maroney.
I hope I know what you're saying, Harold, but I hope he does, because when he has been right, we saw that we got so excited about him.
Show
because
you something.
He did. He did. No set, but yes.
Running people over and
had short stints as a rookie.
That game in Cincinnati 4 years ago.
Flashes. But I mean, you can't lump him in with Chad Jackson. Chad Jackson never showed virtually anything.
Okay.
Right. Lawrence Maroney has shown flashes of not only NFL talent but elite NFL talent.
It's durability to me. Yeah. I think he's fine. I don't know if I would go as far as to say the elite that Andy said, but I think he is fine in terms of his ability. He just hasn't been able to stay on the field.
Not just durability?
Long enough to do it.
Or is what we talked about earlier?
Well, I think it's part of that is the maturity and the toughness and the heart and all the stuff that goes along with it.
Not to mention, he also wasn't a bad returner. As a rookie, he was a very good returner.
He was a very good kick.
He got off the field very quickly.
So he's shown us a lot more than Chad. Chad Jackson had his chances to be a return man and really didn't do anything with those chances. As a receiver, he didn't do anything, obviously.
I am buying Lawrence Maroney for this
year.
He's got one
more chance.
There'll be a comma in his rushing total.
He's got one more chance.
Okay.
All right. Well, he's competing with, four other running backs, and I really like the free agent. What was his name?
Fred Taylor.
Rain Ellis.
Jarvis.
He's okay. Yeah. I mean, he's competing with Sammy Morris and Fred Taylor for carries.
I mean, I like the way he hit the holes. I believe he hit the holes better than
But he was hitting the holes when teams were saying he was hitting the holes when teams were saying we dare you to run.
Right.
Because all we're going to
he was hitting the hole.
Yeah. No.
If you could give Lawrence Maroney's talent to Ben Jarvis Green Ellis or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis's mentality to just hit the hole to Lawrence Maroney, I think you'd have something.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, Ben Jarvis Green is not better than Lawrence Maroney. I'm not going to say that.
Right.
I'm going to let y'all go, and I was kind of talking too fast because I wanted to make sure I got everything out.
You did a fine job.
And I believe I'm done from here.
Okay,
job, Harold.
Harold, where's High Point?
North Carolina?
North Carolina,
okay.
I don't believe I ever had a caller from Greensboro or from Charlotte.
Oh, we've had Greensboro.
Oh, sure.
And we've had Charlotte, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm 40 minutes north from Charlotte.
Okay.
40 minutes north from Charlotte and probably 5 minutes west of Greensboro.
Okay.
I mean, you can go on the map. You'll see High Point between Winston and Greensboro.
Very
Winston
good.
Winston-Salem and Greensboro. You know where Wake Forest is.
Oh,
Wake
Forest,
sure,
Winston-Salem.
How often do you eat Krispy Kremes?
Krispy Kreme? The last time I ate that was probably a couple of months ago. I mean, it's probably 10 minutes away from my house.
See, they all went out of business up here. I love Krispy Kremes.
They went out of business?
Yeah, they all closed.
I don't know what to tell y'all.
You could send some. All right, Harold.
All right.
Harold from High Point.
I listen to you on the radio.
Thanks, Harold.
You're the best.
All right, Harold from High Point. It's been a year, and he didn't even come in with his poem.
He has no formal poetic experience.
He gave it a shot, though.
That he was going to put a poem together.
And he was worried that he was talking too fast?
There's no freaking way you remember that.
I vaguely.
You don't remember Mike calling last week to ask about All Access.
No, it's the short-term memory that's shot. My long-term memory is pretty good.
He made me laugh, though, when he said he was worried that he talked too fast on his phone call.
What are you saying, Eric?
I'm not saying anything.
Michael.
That's when people like you the best.
Michael writes in, and he says,
wasn't even a gay joke. Why did I get it on?
Actually, this is Mick from Ireland. I had thought, and I said, I'll see what you guys think since we are getting some emails on email hating going on. I thought
a putty tat.
I thought PFW should set up the following fights and sell tickets to our listeners. Our first fight could be Chris from London versus Paul from London. Let them bitch about who and what ruined the field at Wembley, and then we could have John from L.A. versus Mike from Puerto Rico. I remember Mike getting a little sour with John before, and I'm sure some more people might want to fight John because of his fighting skills. His writing skills. Then we could have Eric versus Carmani, or however you spell it. This has been a heated match for a long time, so I think they should finally just roll around the ground together.
They would want to do it in jail.
How was Carmani on your
Or have they already done
vacation,
that?
Eric, do you guys have a couple beers?
How are his sandbags?
They're awful.
Sorry, Eric, I couldn't resist. Then our main event would be our very own Hall of Famer, Paul Perillo versus William Berry. So come on. Sure, there's a lot of people who
Great
would love
email
to see those
way.
Fights. What do you think? Maybe we should
I'm
have
I'm all this. For it.
Hey, yeah. What's your beef with William Berry? I forgot.
Great emailer.
Yeah, but what's your beef with him?
I don't have a beef with him.
He used to. They made up.
Oh, you did?
We did?
Yeah.
Yeah, he bought lunch.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Wait, is Paul who bought lunch today?
Paul in London.
Yeah. But aren't there like five Pauls in London?
No, it's
no,
the...
there's Paul in London, and then there's the Paul who, James in London, and James who sets up the website in Wales, who Fred always confuses.
I thought there were multiple Pauls.
I'm sure there are. It's
this
pretty
is a Paul in London.
It's a pretty popular name. All the cool guys are named Paul.
Arsenio's in Clearwater, Florida, right?
How's your Hogan?
And I think he's the one that told me that Crawdaddy's is still there. Remember Crawdaddy's?
Yeah.
Remember I brought that up again?
Yeah,
it's a big bar on the causeway.
Yeah, I remember that.
All the kids used to hit it at Tampa.
They shot Sonny on the causeway.
Arsenio says, I was going to say, hey, guys, and Eric, and then I realized Paul was going to say it. Anyway, I was reading a February edition of the Sporting News, and they were discussing Brett Favre's career with former NFL players and taking polls, and a question was asked as to if anyone who was a better quarterback than Brett Favre during his era. Out of the 23 former players, only one said Tom Brady, a couple said Peyton, a couple said John Elway, and a few said Troy Aikman. But the rest said Brett Favre, and that was about it. I wanted your input on this because I think that was absolutely crazy that Tom Brady, a three-time Super Bowl champion quarterback of the New England Patriots, only got one vote. By the way, there was a court case recently here in Clearwater about some old lady that got into a confrontation at a McDonald's drive-thru with a police officer, and it led to her arrest, and it even went to court. After hearing all this, I remember Paul had some relatives here in Florida and was curious if it was related.
Grandma Perillo?
Someone might have... gave me a bad look or something.
During
you don't know
the
what
Brett
happens
Favre
in those
era, who was the best quarterbacks? And I have to say Brett Favre wasn't the best.
I would say all those that were named, I would put ahead, except for Troy Aikman. I don't think Troy Aikman was a better quarterback than Brett Favre.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him ahead.
And he won three Super Bowls, mm-hmm. So I don't really think winning a Super Bowl puts you ahead necessarily. But I would say Elway was better than Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah.
I would say Manning was better than Brett Favre.
Yep.
I would say Brady's better than Brett Favre.
I would, too.
Okay.
But you're talking about a lot of great quarterbacks.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that I think Brett Favre stinks or anything. I just feel like he had a great run in the 90s. I don't think he's been overly effective for the better part of the last decade.
What's your –
the odds.
Why do you say Aikman
I
not
think
as
Aikman
good?
Was the product of an unbelievably
of
talented team.
That, he was that, incredibly that, accurate, though.
He was – this doesn't mean he stinks.
Right.
Doesn't mean he's not good. Yeah. I think that a lot of quarterbacks could have won Super
right.
Bowls
he
with
had
that
an
team.
Offensive line, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin.
The best offensive line.
Good tight end. I mean, look at what Brady's done and how he's done it differently every time.
Yeah. That's why I would give Brady the nod
I
over
think
him.
If you put Brady on that team, no chance the rest of the league.
Do you consider the head-to-head matchups? Because they went against each other a lot in the playoffs and even in the regular season. Aikman and Favre.
Well, not really because
of the talent.
Yeah, I think there was such a talent disparity between the teams.
Mm.
I think it's it's like Elway. I mean, to me, Elway is still the best I've ever seen.
I agree.
And
with
the
that.
Reason I say that is because of how well he did with so little.
Right.
That's not the reason. It's part of the reason that I would say.
And
that.
You like the physical.
The physical. I mean,
the guy
just,
could run. And
oh
had
yeah.
An absolute cannon.
Yep. Yeah.
So automatically he starts out. You watch him throw one pass on a practice field, and you go. Holy crap, that guy's good.
Now, like Brett Favre was very similar. Brett Favre had the physical that he could
right.
move and make plays with his feet and had the cannon.
Right.
But
Elway had a strong
But Elway, Elway was
I
also...
Just, and I feel like he was better.
Elway
like
was
definitely
was
accurate.
Better.
Yeah. And kind of morphed and did what he had to do to, at a later date. Now, he didn't play quite as long, so it's hard to compare, but... He didn't peter out.
Oh, he was a much better
finished.
Player at
he
the end of his career
better.
Than Brett
right.
Favre
Absolutely.
Was 5-6 years ago.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah.
I guess that's what
you know. Favre had
Elway,
that one
Elway
year.
Knew when to call it quits,
what was
too.
What was the 07? Yes. Favre had that one year that he sort of forgot
resurgent.
About.
People forgot about it, but those last 2 years that Elway won Super Bowls, he
was
wasn't on the top of his game
passing. He was
passing
still very good. Oh,
no,
yes,
but
was.
He was still pretty good.
He was still pretty
good. Just
because
he had a 2,000-yard rusher that helped him finally had.
I paid attention. He was still pretty good. He didn't have quite the the scrambling ability that he had early in his career.
Fred had his jersey on.
I mean, who does?
I mean, he wasn't. I mean, he, like Andy said or Eric, he knew when to get out. That was the time.
But who, maintains all of the physical skills throughout? I mean,
no, I'm just saying.
You know, Marino had
he
that
didn't
lightning.
Stretch it out like some of these guys.
Marino had that lightning quick release and all the, maybe most gifted passer ever to play the game. But he wasn't the same guy at the end.
Yeah. No, but he wasn't.
It wasn't like he lost his mobility.
Right.
But he didn't
still
have
had the quick release.
The physical still just wasn't the same.
Right.
He couldn't do things
Plus,
with his
he
arm.
He never
that he
really
used
recovered
to.
From that Achilles injury.
Right.
He had.
I agree with you.
It would have been interesting, though, if the Broncos didn't have Terrell Davis towards the end of Elway's career, whether Elway would have played as long as he did. I think he saw that he had something in TD.
Yeah.
And knew that he might have a chance at winning the Super Bowl, so he held on a little bit longer, and the gamble paid off. But it's obviously we'll never know the answer, but it's just kind of interesting.
He had a good season his last year, 2,800 yards passing, 22 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and 93.
What was his completion percentage?
59.0.
59.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad.
And
that's
and
around what he was for his career because he was
2,800 yards. Nowadays, kind of seems a little low, but he had a 2,000-yard rusher.
Yeah.
So, the offense was evenly split there.
It's what was his second to last year? The last
second
years
to last year was fine, too.
Because he won
3,600 yards, 27 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Yeah. So 36
percentage a little lower at 55.8.
3,600 yards, 27 touchdowns, 11 picks for a Super Bowl winner.
Yeah.
He's not one
of the greatest quarterbacks.
But it's perceived to be that he couldn't win until he got this running game,
and then
he was along for the ride. Well, it may be true that he would have never won without the running game.
But he wasn't along,
for the ride.
He didn't have a bad year until you go back to 94, and that was 16-10 for interceptions. Still threw for 3,500 yards. Rushed for 230 and four touchdowns.
Great. And the completion percentage for him is going to be a little bit down because he actually threw the ball down the field.
25. He's kind of like Brady. You pencil him in for 26-10 every year of his career.
He was really good. He was a joy to watch.
10-17 in 92, though. That wasn't a good year.
Sandeep from Herndon, Virginia. About the Burgess trade, a lot of opinion on the web seems to indicate that the Raiders are hesitant to deal with the Patriots in the way the Moss trade worked out. My opinion, that's a bunch of horse crap. The Raiders and the Pats traded draft picks just a few weeks ago. Bill Belichick, head coach of the New England Patriots, and Al Davis, president of the Oakland Raiders, have a long history of trading players and picks, and this trade might just happen if the two sides agree on the compensation.
I love how that's taken off.
So
I would agree. I think that's a good point. Yeah. I think the Raiders and Patriots have maintained their ability to be trading partners in the drafts, and that's been after the Moss trade.
Mm-hmm. And Gabriel.
Well, that's right.
That was before that.
No, I know, but they've clearly.
That was one that clearly worked out in the Raiders' favor.
Right.
Because even if they got a bag of balls with Doug Gabriel, that would have been a steal for the Raiders. So
he's from High Point.
Is he?
Oh, I don't know. Forget it.
Did he say he would trade him for a bag of balls?
Oh, I get it.
I missed that.
Elway threw a lot of picks, huh?
Oh, yeah.
The more I look back, the 26-10 was late in his career. Every other year was like 18-18.
Oh yeah, no, he threw a lot of interceptions because he had to do it all.
Right, he had to do it all. I mean, he was constantly at third and long hitting these guys that you don't know how he completed the passes. It was incredible.
22-23.
Chris Chelios still in the NHL?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Sandeep also says, what are your thoughts on Tony Kornheiser being replaced by John Gruden on Monday Night Football?
I wasn't a big fan
of Tony. However, I cannot wait for Tony to get back to radio. His radio show was hands down the best radio show I have ever listened to.
That's really going to leave
Well, we're internet radio. It's a different category.
This is radio.
Yeah. I like the move. I think Gruden's going to do
Gruden's
fine.
Gruden's great, and I don't like Cornish.
I didn't like most of the personalities on the NFL Network, especially lately during the combine and the draft coverage, but I thought Gruden was the best of that bunch. And obviously ESPN saw the same thing because they tapped him to replace Kornheiser. The question I had, Andy and I, we were talking about this yesterday, was whether we thought Kornheiser was being truthful, I guess, when he said that it was his fear of flying that really made him have enough of being in the booth, or whether ESPN said,
You suck.
We need somebody better in that spot, and I tend to think it was the latter.
Tony Kornheiser is Ellis Hobbs.
So yeah, I wasn't a huge Kornheiser fan, so I'm
Eric, you should like him though. He's kind of pompous.
I welcome that move, but I don't know enough about John Gruden. I mean, I know the character that he is as a coach, but does that translate to the booth? I don't know.
And will he be open because he still wants to be a coach again?
Exactly. Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that because
the sampling I saw in draft. He's going to be good.
I think so.
So I hope so. I didn't really see much of him doing any kind of analytical work, but I hope that's a good move.
Chris,
well, he doesn't really have to analyze.
Chris Ferreras.
He's replacing a guy who didn't do anything. Yeah, he can't be any worse.
But I want him to say stuff.
No, I know, but
he was saying stuff during the draft.
If he was filling in Ron Jaworski's seat, then there would be a certain expectation. He's the third fiddle. Hmm. He only has to be Dennis Miller and Tony Kornheiser. That's what he's compared to.
Yeah, but
and those guys sucked.
Yeah, but I don't want him to be like those guys.
No, but he's going to be better because
he's... That's the bar.
He only has to be this much better. I mean,
he will be.
And it's going to be easy because anytime I've ever seen him speak, he has a natural sense of humor and charisma that just overtakes the room.
I hope you're right. But
those other guys sucked.
What they should
have
is
being a little better than those other guys won't be much of an improvement.
You should see the game on your screen, but then a little box in the corner should be him while he's watching.
I'm sure they'll do something to play that up because that's what he's known for.
But when he was doing his draft coverage and combine stuff, he was always smiling and enjoying it. He actually looked like he was having fun doing it. He didn't look like he was ever having fun coaching.
Well,
he always looked pissed off.
Oh, I think he's just up and down.
Does Bill look like he's having fun too often?
And we have the open...
No, but I'm not sure he is having fun all the time.
Oh, he's having fun.
We have the opening night game now, too, right? We're on Monday night. Yeah. So that crew will be here.
Yes. I gotta tell you, that'd be a production meeting.
Maybe we can get him on the show.
Well, we should give it a shot. Especially in light of the fact
Get on that.
No, hopefully by that time, Tamash will be producing. But who knows at this point?
Doubtful.
In light of the fact that, you know, that certainly seems to be.
See, Doc, you know, you love this show. That's why you're doing
this. This is your claim to relevance.
You love doing this show. That's why Toyota's not doing it.
Chevy. Good thing it's not Chevy.
You caught me.
All those American ones are going out of business. He'd be out.
All right. Chris Ferreira says All Access is not currently made available as a download. It is certainly possible for the current half-hour shows we do, but if they are full-hour shows, the file size would be too large to upload to our content management system due to the file size restriction, which cuts us off at 125 megabytes, and the file would be considerably larger than that. Well, how about iTunes? The question is, maybe iTunes could handle that.
Well, I don't know. If you get that outside independent contractor, maybe we can give them more money to do
this
the stuff that are for some reason we can't handle ourselves.
Ferreira, I blame you and you
alone. If he takes the commercials out of the hour-long show, the show's even shorter.
Yeah, nut. Take the commercials out, Ferreira.
It's about 40 minutes.
Full flow, right?
Yeah. Sitcom's 22.
David
right?
in Maine wants to know... on opening day, what is the starting offensive line going to be, and who is the starting running back?
Starting running back will be Sammy Morris.
I'm going to go with Fred Taylor.
You're wrong.
I'm going to go Sammy Morris in the same offensive
line.
Same offensive line last year.
Okay. No changes.
Kazier at right tackle.
I'm going to say Seabass Ballmer starts at right tackle.
No, I don't think he'll start.
Kick his ass, Seabass.
No.
Oh, there's a shot. Oh,
he might start by the middle of the season or toward the end of the season, but I don't think on week one he will be.
Seabass will start opening day.
You got Light,
you honestly
Mankins,
think
Copen. No. Left to right, Light, Mankins, Copen, Neal, and I agree with Paul, Kazier, at least in the beginning.
I think Seabass got a chance, though.
TG and Joyce, he says that Andy Hart's a hypocrite.
Yes,
I agree. What did I do now?
Andy Hart hates Twitter, says it's a fad, going to be gone soon, always poking fun at Fred, and those that use it, Andy Hart has a Twitter account.
But I don't use it. I'm using it. Well, I wanted to.
He's not a hypocrite, though.
Drew Rosenhaus posts every day, like seven times a day.
Right.
Lawrence Maroney posts, Vince Wilfork posts, Shaq posts.
So you're doing what I do. You're using it as a utility to keep up with people.
Right.
Right.
Including you, who said, it's a good time to start an internet-based business.
And I sent a link to an article about that.
Do you have
it's not my opinion.
Do you have something in mind for me to head up or something? Anything?
I mean, isn't that like scams?
You know a lot about the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
Good. Fred, have you heard this?
You know what, Fred? Touché.
This scam about fly fishing?
What about
there's some like business model like that, some scam business where you buy a kit and you tie flies
you
and send them to this store and they pay you for each one. And I guess it's like pretty popular. It's one of those get rich quick schemes.
Yeah.
But you have to make like 8 gazillion flies just to be earning like $3.25 an hour or something.
Wow.
It's I guess it's one of the top 10 scams on the internet right now, and I figured you might have been lured into it.
Anyway, anyway, TG says it's refreshing to see Andy's able to have an open mind and change his stance on a subject for a change. After the draft, you can see where such a service has its merit.
Well, I also need to ask, Fred, what do I do about people that just kind of start following me that I want to disassociate?
You can block them.
Okay, because speaking of block, something that rhymes with block is in a couple of the people's names. Britney Spears does rhymes with rock, block, sock, talk.
Who's following you and why are they following you?
It's only a matter of time before you say it.
I'll stop. But it seems like it's spam or something. Like, is there Twitter spam?
I guess. I don't know. It's called Twitter
not
litter.
Not enough people follow
is
you
really?
To have,
yeah,
find so. Out.
You know, me, mine expands by about a half dozen every morning.
Crap. Eric is back. Shite, he says. Please, Fred, some of us who do not care about Eric's life, we don't care nor want to hear about which blank he is painting or taking pictures of, his lack of real girlfriends, etc. Please spare us the prying into Eric's private life and what he did or did not do on his vacation.
Well, based on the fact that Fred started,
TG and Joyce,
I think it rhymes with poor.
Totally gay in New Jersey?
Yeah.
That's what the TG stands
for. Are there any other disgruntled players out there the Pats could target besides Burgess? Obviously, we need defense, but imagine getting Cribs from the Browns. Won't happen with Rat Genie.
No, we have the next Cribs. His name's Edelman.
And Fred, don't you think it's interesting that Arlen Specter changed parties and then the Comcast deal got done? I don't think that had anything to do with it.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't really see.
Yeah.
Can I do a quick poll of our listeners? Who liked the season finale of 24 last night? If you watched the show, email in.
I don't watch it.
Awful.
You're an idiot. It was a good show with a bad ending. It was a very good episode.
The first hour and 47 minutes.
He said, I didn't like it, and you said he's an idiot. And you just admitted
that
it.
That had nothing to do with his comments. He's an idiot. Look at him.
That was
in general, he's an idiot.
That was nice typical shirt, Andy Hart, though.
Every 24.
That was
and
a
that
very
was the worst
good
season.
Hour 45 episode. The last 15 minutes of crying and this moral judge, you know, who goes which way, who crosses the line and who doesn't.
I thought it was a decent finale of Gossip Girl.
You would. 24. This is a man's
Don't worry,
radio
Eric.
Show.
I won't tell everybody that you watch it, too.
James in Wales
Oops.
Writes in.
Did that slip?
I know we're all fed up with Twitter, but I spotted this today. I'm not fed up with it. Mike
Jumbo
Reese,
Hart, by the way, is my name.
Mike Reese, who was in Fort Lauderdale covering the NFL spring meeting, noted on his personal Twitter page that NFL owners said that Robert Kraft played a key behind-the-scenes role in the NFL and Comcast agreement. Do you know what involvement he had?
Well,
he is
I would assume
the chair of that committee,
he's
right?
He's the chair of the broadcast committee,
yeah.
And he's on the committee for the NFL Network, so if he didn't have a good role in it, they'd be screwed.
Nothing gets by Mike Reese's Twitter account.
No offense, Mike.
Larry the Drunk writes in. Sorry, guys. Left.
He's
the room.
On Twitter. He's following me.
He says he left the room to
you
make some coffee and missed
gay.
What you said about Brady at the OTAs. What happened?
We'll find that out tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, but we did see if somebody saw a video from April 29th, where he had 13 straight completions.
Right. That was our friend Lucky at a
coach's
clinic here at the stadium. Bill O'Brien apparently made a presentation and accidentally rewound it too far and showed what the tape was from.
He also wants to know.
Wink, wink.
He wants to know if the NFL Experience will be in London. If so, can we witness a day with Fred Kirsch at the NFL Experience? It'd be hilarious. Fred seems like the guy who says he can do everything and then blames the football when his spirals are going end over end. We all know it will end with Fred passed out in the kiddie's ball pit.
I want to see you like.
That's
don't they
partially
have stuff
true.
Like you dive over.
Don't you think? Isn't that partially true?
I can throw a football.
Over them mountains over there?
I'll bet you I can throw a football better than you can throw
I
a football.
I bet you can. I've seen you throw a football.
No, I bet you I
suck.
Can.
You would take
you
part suck. In all of that stuff, and you would
I bet
definitely.
You, I can.
You would definitely.
Do you
want to
do it? I'm ready. I'm ready, man.
He's already beaten you in three sports.
I will take
true.
You down
now,
again.
Wait a minute. We need some parameters here.
I will take you down again.
But what is the competition? Like, how is this
more accurate?
Based on what?
Accuracy.
Does someone say who is more accurate?
Accuracy and length.
But again, like,
well, you have to.
You
like,
guys both throw. Who decides who is more accurate?
We'll set up a target.
You put a you put a receiver
all right,
out.
So neither one of you are going to hit it. So then, how do we decide who wins?
No. So you put a receiver out there, and Paul was serious, and I agree with him.
I'm being dead serious.
I have a good arm.
I've seen you play flag.
Here's what you do.
Bubble football. You suck.
Here's what you do. You put a receiver out, and you know, like like they do at practice. They put the for the quarterbacks. They put the equipment guy out at a certain spot. And the quarterbacks have to throw to him at that certain spot. And the least amount of movement that he has to have
And who determines that?
I'm ready.
Us or whoever's Let's not do it. In it.
Give me 5 minutes to warm up and I'll kick your ass.
First of all, right. You'll pull your quad in that five
no, I'm
minutes.
I'm not going to run. I'm just going to throw the ball.
You don't need to run to pull your quad. You're limping around the office as it is now.
I'm a little stiff.
Yeah, well.
I've been doing a lot of weeding and stuff in the garden.
Yeah, because you're an idiotic parent. You have a
That's
son.
That's true. You should be making this
Make
kid
him
do work around
work.
The house.
I got to do it if I want.
Have him mulch.
I know. You know what? You have to teach him how to do it right if you want
that.
It done right.
Fred, we were talking about this last week. You know what you need? You need to have Connor come in and talk to us. Because we're like your work kids. Because we're all a bunch of little infants, especially Andy.
Hey.
Even though that, you know, some of us are a little bit closer to aging than you, as you. But... You know, you have it pretty good under Fred Kirsch, and we all recognize that.
As a child or a worker.
And every once in a while, Fred Kirsch asks us to do something, and sometimes we don't necessarily agree with it, but you do it so infrequently that we say, you know what?
You know what? We
Fred
do
doesn't
it.
Ask for a lot. We got to do
you
this.
You bite the bullet so you can go another 5 weeks before you bite the bullet
You need
again.
To have Connor come in, and we'll have this talk with him and say, listen, your father doesn't ask you to do a whole lot.
But
when he does...
When there's a big pile of mulch in the driveway,
a pile of
spread
mulch,
it!
Make sure you get it spread.
Or at least help
when
the
old grass
man
needs
it.
To be cut, make sure you cut it. When the trash needs to be taken
verge.
Out, make sure you take it out.
I have a heart attack
and
at any point.
It doesn't really speak well for you, Fred, if you assume that you said if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself.
You've
got to
make sure he does
that
it right.
That doesn't speak well for your ability to teach the kid how to do what he's got to do.
That's true. I'm a terrible father.
It's because you do it yourself.
Teach the kid how to do it.
Give him a fish
what
and
happens
eats for
when
one
he,
night. Teach
what happens
him to fish
when he
and
becomes,
eats for life.
What happens when he becomes a father someday and he has to do yard work
Hopefully
around his
tomorrow,
house? He's not going to know what the hell to do because he never had his father show him.
Fred, it's like a few weeks ago at rookie minicamp when they told us that we couldn't blog anymore. And
right.
I thought we would just put updates up. You wanted to blog.
Right.
I didn't necessarily like it. Then I said, you know what? Fred doesn't ask us to do a lot of stuff. So Andy and I went back to our desks. We put blog stuff up there and we did it because you wanted it done. I was wrong. You were right.
Yeah. All right.
I think he's looking for a punchline here. I'm being as totally serious as I could be.
He just doesn't want to teach Connor. That's the bottom line. You don't want to take the time to show him how to do it, do you?
Alex writes in.
I think it would take more of his energy. He'd probably pull a quad trying to teach him how to do it.
I'll still beat Andy throwing a football.
Would that be the fourth sport that you would beat him in,
That's
throwing
right.
a football?
You got that right.
You got that right. Pulls a Kramer out of nowhere.
Hello, guys, and the doctor. This just in, Fred Kirsch is predicting a Super Bowl win. Provide everyone stays healthy and Teddy Bruschi discovers the elixir of youth. Don't get me wrong. I also have high expectations, just not 19-0. I never said 19-0.
No, you said 18-1.
No, I said 12-4. But the amazing thing about this.
That's
yes,
the lowest record you've said in a decade.
Ever.
No, I said 12-4 last year with Castle.
But what about this year?
12-4.
With Brady.
With Brady. Tougher.
What did you say with Brady last year?
13-3.
That's you're right, because I remember saying one game difference.
Right. But the amazing thing about this team is that you go into every game thinking you are going to win with an important edge in coaching. Let me ask you guys this. Back in
That's
those
true.
Lean years of 1-15 plus sex scandals, what were your expectations prior to every season and your mindset before each game?
Well, there's different.
My mindset was, what time's the Raiders game and Bo on?
It was different expectations, I would think, for different teams. There were years, the year that they lost everybody in the preseason, I think it was 89, clearly the expectations were down in the basement. You know, when they lost Tippett, Veris, and Ronnie LaPett, you knew they weren't going anywhere that year, and I think they went 5-11 or something like that. That was fairly predictable. But there were seasons that they had bad years that going into the year you were somewhat encouraged or hopeful, and it didn't work out. They didn't have a sex scandal or poor coaching every year.
Right.
And certainly they had it sometimes. You know, Rod Russ was terrible. The 1-15 year, there was no optimism heading into that season whatsoever.
Yep.
But I think that, for example, the first year that Dick McPherson was here, I think they went 5-11. Something like that.
I think that sounds right.
But they had a lot of close games. Some of them they won. They were very exciting.
Well, Dante had to take over.
No, that was the second year.
Oh, the second year.
The first year that McPherson was here, I think it was 91. Hugh Millen played. You remember Houdini? Remember that?
91, they were 6-10.
6-10, okay, even better. But they had a lot of close games. Some of them they won, some of them they fell short. Yep. But heading into the next year, I remember there being a lot of optimism. They, you know, they learned how to win some games, and you know, some close games. You get some breaks. They could be 8-8, maybe right. even in the playoff hunt. And they went 2-14.
2-14.
So heading into that season, certainly, I don't think people thought that Dick McPherson was going to be gone by midseason with an illness, and Dante Scarnecchia was going to be taken over with a pencil behind his ear as the special teams coach.
Yep. Let's see. Andy in Ireland writes in. He talks about Derek Burgess, which we covered. But he also says, P.S., I was in Boston last January and visited the stadium. Loved the pro shop and the hall. Insert presented by Raytheon Soundbite. We can't because Doc's not paying attention to the show. Even my brother and parents, who had no real interest in football once and had to be dragged from Boston to Foxborough, were really impressed with it. Well, that'll make Brian Morey happy.
Why don't you stop by and see us?
So...
Why the face, Paul?
Why are you encouraging people to stop by and see us?
Because generally they bring gifts. They come bearing gifts.
Paul in London's upset. He says, tell Mick from Ireland it wasn't me that was moaning about the Wembley pitch. I couldn't care less if the pitch was field turf, grass, or concrete. And I'll fight Eric. I'll be Kamani's tag team partner, and Eric can bring his boyfriend. And Perillo is right. All people call Paul are cool. So
I still go back to Paul Hogan.
What's the matter with Paul Hogan?
He's not cool.
Why not?
That's not a knife.
This is a knife.
That's not cool. That is Crocodile Dundee.
I like Crocodile Dundee.
Not cool?
It's Andy. Yeah, Paul. I mean, come on.
Oh, I saw Star Trek.
Probably never even saw Crocodile Dundee.
The movie.
Good?
Yes, I thought it was really good.
I'm interested in it.
You know, it's getting like 4 stars, and some people are saying it's the greatest science fiction movie ever made. I don't think so, but
why
it was really good.
Jump to that. Why does it have to be the greatest ever made when Batman comes out?
It
the
was
greatest action movie.
It was
ever.
Really good. It was, and the story was a good story. You
I
know,
like stories.
It was good. A little hokey at times, but you know that's okay.
Star Trek.
Yeah. Let's see. Hey guys, and the Doctor. This is from Mike in North Reading. Since I assume you've already received at least a dozen emails about Derek Burgess, I'm going to figure you've covered that. So I thought I'd make the suggestion of a free agent I think the Pats should take a look at. Big
Derek
Baby
Brooks.
Davis.
Oh.
Having watched him on the Celtics the last couple of seasons, I think this guy would be a monster at either as an O lineman or an oversized tight end. He has some of the quickest feet I've ever seen in a big fella, and he's somewhere between 6'6 and his listed height of 6'8. He can run, and we know he can put on a few more pounds if needed.
We know that.
Seriously, though, obviously Big Baby is going to stay in the
NBA. Oh, that
wasn't
serious?
But how do you guys think his combination of size and quickness would have translated to the NFL had he chosen to go that route? I vaguely remember rumors during his time at LSU of him considering tryouts for NFL teams if he didn't end up in the NBA. There aren't a lot of guys 6'6", 300, where he was rumored to be 330 at times at LSU with the kind of foot quickness and agility he has demonstrated in the NBA. I honestly feel he could have been a better left tackle than he will ever be a power forward. I don't know.
It's plausible. I mean, Bill always says that. There's a limited number of X, whatever the parameters you put on it, whether it's 6'4 guys that run a 4'6 or 6'6, 300-pound lineman. There's a set number of those bodies on the planet. He's certainly one of the more athletic of those.
The way he described him is very accurate. He's got very quick feet. He's not the most athletic person, but he does have very quick feet.
Just can't play basketball.
Now, what I don't know is, you know, and it doesn't appear to be, that his arms are very long,
right.
And I think you would need that to be a tackle.
And
that
I'm not
big
sure
wingspan
toughness and is a strength of his.
Kevin Garnett, you know, yelled at him and he cried. So I'm not sure how that translates to the football field.
Imagine that if you like that Manny Wright guy down with Saban.
Oh, can you imagine what Dante would do to him? And Dante's Inferno down there.
Yeah,
Mike bring Kleenex out every practice.
Mike ends it up. He says, "I wish I could write in more or call, but some of us can't take a 2-hour lunch break every Tuesday and Thursday and spend it busting each other's balls for being gay. Keep living the dream."
Thanks. It's one of the best emails we got.
Since you're the one getting his balls busted for being gay,
are you living the dream?
While sipping
more like
your,
a nightmare.
What is that? Acusta masa water? How do you say that?
Where'd you
get that water?
Where'd I get the water? No, at the supermarket.
The supermarket?
Yeah.
You went just for that?
Why are you talking like that?
Because Fred is.
That's not how I was talking.
Saying, where'd you get that water?
They got Sunny
What supermarket you go to?
Shaw's.
Shaw's? They have those in Rhode Island?
Yeah.
Shaw's.
Official supermarket sponsor of the New England Patriots.
That's right. That's right.
Where else would I go, Fred?
Where you get your Gridiron Grillers. Do we still have those?
I think they're still around. Do we have Gridiron Grillers, Doc?
Not really.
No, not really?
What does not really mean?
No.
No.
Should we not talk about it anymore?
Kabir from Columbus, Ohio. Just curious, have the Chiefs settled a contract with Matt Castle?
I don't believe so.
I haven't heard that. I haven't heard anything about it.
That fire went away.
Yeah.
There wasn't any reference to it in the story I read about their OTAs because it was emphasizing the fact that while Castle is first in line for everything, they are still talking that it's an open competition for the quarterback job with, what's his name?
Tyler Thigpen?
Yeah.
What color shirts do you think their quarterbacks wear in practice?
Black.
Yellow. I bet it's yellow.
And black. I wonder if the Patriots are going to continue yellow. With that. Remember
as
last
opposed
year?
To white. I don't know. I'm just saying black.
It's yellow.
Last
gold
year they
shirt.
Stopped wearing the red shirts. Do you remember that? The quarterbacks? Because
yeah.
they
yeah.
wanted to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, they've been doing that on and off for the past few years.
Brady missed
hurt.
The season.
Bill from Vail, Colorado. Hey, guys. And the Tookus Tamer. I have exchanged a few off-air emails.
Last week you were the fanny farmer.
I have exchanged a few off-air emails with Paul in reference to my comparison to Cliff Clavin. I thought it was great that Paul apologized for taking my comments in the wrong way.
I did.
He didn't
you know what
have
happened,
to.
Eric? They compared me to you, and that was really a cold water in the face, my
He
friend.
Didn't have to. It's all
oh,
in good fun,
but I didn't
it was
take
appreciated.
It well.
Oh. Paul's all right. However, we got in on a side conversation about Elway and Paul's appreciation of Elway and his career. My opinion is that Elway never won a Super Bowl until he had TD in the backfield. Though the opinion may be based on ignorance, but it seems to me that TD was so dominant at running back that defenses would focus so much on him that it opened things up for Elway like never before.
That's all
true. You were right there.
The tickle. I also have the opinion that he never had that knack for making it look easy like Montana did. My question to Paul that I will now pose to you guys is how do you think Elway would have done on the 2006 Patriots with receivers like Caldwell and the several receivers that played opposite him that season, along with Corey Dillon and Lawrence Two-Step Maroney in the backfield? I think there are a lot of similarities there with the earlier Broncos team.
Yeah,
I was going to say, go see the first 15 years
exactly.
of his career. He went to four Super Bowls.
What he carried the team on his shoulders.
Vance Johnson and the Amigos.
The three Amigos, none of which could play.
Right.
Who were they?
None of them were that good.
Who'd you have? Vance Johnson, right?
Ricky. Yeah.
Ricky Nitteel.
Ricky Nitteel was one, and it was Jackson.
And Mark Jackson.
As I told Paul, I have
Gerald
listened to
Will
the
Hite
show for
Sammy
about two
Winder
years,
in the backfield.
And now you guys are by far the best. Keep it up. P.S. The Vail area has some great trout fishing as well, and steelhead are a type of rainbow trout.
Oh, yeah, Eric, and he's going to send us, he works at a resort, and he's going to send us some shirts.
You got into quite a lengthy conversation with
Bill. Yeah, we started doing Cheers episodes, too.
Oh, good.
That was in between me writing the chapters of my book, Fred.
And now, this is really heating up, this book.
Yeah, maybe.
He can't talk about it. Although,
you're under contract?
No, I'm not under contract. That's why I can't talk about it.
No, there'll be a
if
contract
he were, he wouldn't
for
be
him.
Here.
There'll be a contract out on his life.
All right.
Is this too much already?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition
of 5 minutes.
What? I my clock here says 1:59.
It's wrong because you started at 12 on this clock. You should end at 2.
Do you have any more emails left to read?
Huh?
Glenn, are there any more emails to read?
Oh, there's plenty.
Read some.
We may have a guest on Thursday who may be a Hall of Fame outside linebacker.
And know a little bit something about, you know, setting the edge and rushing
3-4,
the passer.
Taking on tight ends. He may laugh like that or that.
Oh, that looked like it was going to leave a mark.
But he is sometimes tough to pin down due to his martial arts background. And therefore, we're not going to use his name. So if you don't get the hint.
He likes to golf, too, a lot.
He does like to golf. And his number is not retired, but has been taken out of circulation.
Josh says.
His isn't, but Gino Capoletti's is.
Josh says to Andy, Josh from Arlington, Virginia, about 24.
Yes.
Every season finale is the worst episode of the season. There is not an easy way to end it because it is an action/drama show that does not actively carry over until the next season. They can't leave you hanging because the day ends. Lost had a good season finale because they could leave you hanging as the story will continue. Every time they end a season of 24, a great show, it is always a letdown. That is the nature of the storyline.
I agree. And I thought this time that they really went out of their way to keep storylines open with some of the main characters because I think they've realized over the years killing everybody but Jack off makes it hard to go to the next year.
Jack off.
killing everybody but jack off. makes it hard, Paul, to go to the next year. But I thought it was a great
episode. Well, that's a happy ending to the show.
All right.
I thought it was a great, great show, and this idiot behind the glass in here does not agree, and he's a moron.
Josh, you said you really liked the Lost finale. Send me an email and let me know what you thought of that, you know, some of the stuff that you really liked specifically.
I thought he hated the fans, and now all of a sudden...
All of a sudden you've got
send
all
Send me a private message and we'll chat off the air,
I didn't say anything about a private message. I asked him to send me an email, number
That's
one.
What
number
that
two,
is, a private message.
Fred tells everybody that I hate all the fans. I wouldn't know how to IM if you
because
had a
Because you said
gun
I hate the
head.
Fans, they're stupid.
Yeah, you don't like the fans.
You call them stupid.
You said the media doesn't know anything and the fans are stupid. So that means the only ones that's ever right are you. Is you.
I don't think that's accurate, but...
At his size, he's an R.
Oh.
Plural. You're a big guy. Fat.
It doesn't even make any sense.
No, it does, really.
No, it really doesn't.
See, Fred's with me again.
Yeah.
Like Andy said. All right. That's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
We should have quit 5 minutes ago.
What's today? Tuesday?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll
see
you.
All right, we'll see you on noon Thursday.